being so already. All right, everybody. Welcome to episode 31 of the Comedically Hardheaded Podcast. I like the theme song. I'm just ready to change it. I've been wanting to swap it out since episode 6, and every time I bring it up, y'all fight me, okay? Y'all fight me harder than the people that watch Power when they swapped out Joe for Trey Songz to sing the theme song. Y'all were not letting them have it. Same kind of energy with this theme song. I think what it is that I probably put this theme song together in like an hour. I had already recorded the first episode of the podcast, and I was like, I think I need some kind of an opener. And so I kind of just threw something together real quick, you know, did a little razzle-dazzle, yin-yin-yin, here we go, boom, and release. And I always had intentions of coming back to the theme song and doing something a bit grander, but hey, y'all like it, I love it. So it can stay, but I just want you to know, every time I hear it, I'm just like, you know, it's not bad, I'm just ready for to move on. But it's fine, you know, I have another album coming out soon, so I think that'll be a pleasant distraction from this theme song. But with that being said, where we left off, we're now in about part 3 of my second academic year working with the kids, and there's been so many things that have taken place. There's been ups and downs with the company. There was somewhat of a restructure where they closed some of the locations, so now they have Mr. John sometimes working at my center. Some of the folks that I really enjoyed working with have transitioned out of the company, so Carrie has left. She was replaced by this new girl, Michigan. There's all these different things that have happened. Ava and I are flourishing as a working duo. We got it together over there, and we've just brought in Mr. Craig, who's this older black man who now works there. And listen, at our site, everything is good and fine and dandy. We're having a great time. In the company, there's a lot of shenanigans. I talked about the money being a little funny, all kind of things happening. But anyway, so now it's about late fall of 2012, and we are in what you call a Fairfax Council meeting. This is one of those meetings we hate going to because we have to go to this every week. This is a council that Boss Lady randomly put together and said is going to meet every week. And so in the room is myself, there's Ava, there's Daniel. If you remember, Daniel was one of the newer people that came in. He was kind of the replacement to Alex from one of the earlier episodes. He was supposed to be the soccer coach for my kids, but Boss Lady wanted him to focus on the basement location, so I became the soccer coach for my kids, which was fine because we won up everything. All right, there's John, who we know this is bare minimum John. John doesn't do a whole lot. John is just kind of there. Cool guy, but he don't ever be doing no work. And at this point, they've closed his center down, so he's rotating back and forth between my location and the basement location. There's Michigan. Michigan was relatively new. If you remember, she was somewhat of the replacement of Carrie from the earlier episodes when I first got to the center. Michigan is the one who thought it was real smart to send me a whole bunch of emails during Hurricane Sandy and think I was actually going to respond. Ma'am, I'm minding my business. Leave me alone, okay? We don't even know if we're going to have a roof in the next 3 hours. And so there was also TT, who was brand new. TT I rock with. She was cool. We kind of wanted her to just come to our location because she would have fit better with Ava and I and Mr. Craig, but, you know, she was at the basement location. I liked her because she laughed at everything I said. And of course, there's Boss Lady in the room. So we've been in this meeting for about an hour and a half at this point. It's already tense. Everybody got an attitude. Me and Ava are hungry. I'm thinking about the fact that we still got to drive 40 minutes back to the center after this meeting, and the meeting is starting to run over. There's been a bunch of arguments about a lot of petty things. Everybody's kind of over it. So we're sitting there with our attitudes, and then Boss Lady goes, I have great news for everyone. Old Navy has decided to sponsor our kids. And so I'm thinking, okay, good, finally there's some good news around here, because hey, sponsorship normally meant that we're gonna bring the kids to the store and the kids are pretty much gonna have free reign to go and pick out anything they want, and most likely they'll get about $200 or $300 worth of clothes, because we've done that a few times with a bunch of different stores. Or Old Navy will already have the clothes purchased and they'll bring it to the center and give it to the kids. You know, they get these nice gift bags and, you know, they got clothes for the winter and the fall. Wonderful. Good. You know, this is what I like to hear. The basement location kids are going to get some clothes. My kids are going to get some clothes. It's going to be a great time. Then Boss Lady goes, now, the sponsorship is for the basement location. The way Ava and I was looking at each other, so you know I couldn't help it. I was like, Boss Lady, why is it that every single time there's an opportunity, my kids are always on the back burner? Like, I have nothing against the other kids getting stuff, but dang, y'all be treating my kids like the boxcar children. I don't be liking that. And so she goes on some rant about, oh, well, understand that with this partnership, it was based on location. And I'm like, what do you mean based on location? Because then she says, well, the Old Navy store that we're going to go to is by the Dulles Town Center. Now, Dulles Town Center, or whatever it's called, is by Dulles Airport, which is like, I want to say 40 45, 50 minutes from my center and maybe 40 minutes from the basement location. It's about the same distance, but hey, I don't feel like driving there anyway. But if it meant that my kids were going to get $200 or $300 worth of clothes, I had no problem going that far out. And so she said that because of proximity to location, the basement location was selected. I was like, you know what, whatever, I don't even care. But then it gets funnier because she's like, this event is on a Saturday, so who's gonna be able to take the kids? So right at that moment, Ava and I had checked out. Plus, once she said it was on Saturday, hell, even if my kids were able to go, I couldn't go because I had a comedy show at the K2 Lounge that Saturday. Because this is around the time I was still doing my comedy all the time. So hey, I was not about to mess up a feature show, okay? If you've ever done comedy, you understand that you have to climb the ranks. You spend a whole bunch of time doing open mic nights, and eventually somebody invites you for a feature. And this was one of my feature shows, so I was like, psh, I am not messing this up. Can I tell you all exactly what would have happened had I been the one to take the kids on the field trip that day? And like I said, I had a comedy show that night, so I would have already been paranoid and stressed out about missing my show. But one of the lessons we have learned over time was that if there was ever an elaborate event at your center, or you had a special field trip, or there was something out of the ordinary in relation to the kids, do not have any additional plans afterwards, because you're either going to be worn out, or that event is going to run over time, or something is going to happen and you're going to get back late. And so I was just already picturing it in my head. First of all, it's a Saturday. If they're doing something at a place like Old Navy, that means they probably want us there at about 2 o'clock. Problem number one, the bus can only hold 15 kids. You can only take 15. There's gonna be every child in that center that wants to go. And what do you do with the kids that belong to families where there's 5 or 6 siblings? If you take 6 siblings from one family and then there's only 9 additional slots left, other parents are gonna feel some kind of way that one family got to have a monopoly on the field trip. So do you take all 6 siblings, or do you only take 1 or 2, or do you act like that family doesn't exist? No matter what option you choose, somebody's gonna have an attitude. So while you're finally loading up the bus after you've selected your 15, there's gonna be parents that got an attitude that are gonna be fighting with you up until the moment that you pull off with the bus trying to get their kids on the trip as well. There's gonna be kids that can't go that are gonna plead with you, and you're gonna feel like the worst person in the world because logistically, you just can't bring anyone else. The bus can only hold 15. It's a safety precaution, and in addition to that, Old Navy would have already told us we only got spots for 15, so don't bring nobody else. So now you have to pull off with the bus, and all the kids on the bus are all hype and excited, but in the rearview mirror is that child that could not go, and they're inconsolable on the sidewalk, and you feel like the worst person in the world. You have canceled their Christmas, you have canceled their birthday, you have stepped on their puppy's tail, you have knocked over their Jenga blocks. You are just the absolute scum under their shoe in that moment, and it's the worst feeling in the world. So now you're pulling off. Like we said, the place is like 40, 45 minutes away if traffic is cooperating, and you gotta make sure you got some money for the toll road. And so you're sitting here, you're going, you finally make it to this location. Now we're at Old Navy. Great. Old Navy's probably gonna have about 15 staff members, and they're gonna assign one staff member to each child, and they're gonna walk around the store with that kid and help them get everything that they want up into about $200 or $300 worth of clothes. And then we have to ring it all up. That's the part that takes the longest. So each child is standing in line, and you know, they're gonna sit here and fold each shirt, fold each pair of pants, take the shirts out the hanger, fold them with the special paper, put them in the special bags. They're gonna go through all that. Old Navy's gonna give you some forms to fill out because they, of course, are gonna want their tax write-off like everybody else, and they're gonna wanna do a photo op. So now we got a bunch of all the kids together and the staff together, and everybody get in the picture. And it's highly likely that Old Navy is still open to everyone else. So the regular everyday customers are also in the store, and they're gonna be very inquisitive because they see all these kids carrying big bags, and they're like, ooh, what's this? And they wanna know about the program, and then somebody points them to you, and they say, he's the guy that's in charge right now. And so now you get all these parents who wanna know, what program is this, and how can my kids participate? And you gotta explain all of this to them. And this could be a media event. ABC 7 might be there. NBC 4 might be there. Fox 5 might be there. And they want to interview the kids. They may want to interview you. And you forgot to shave this day, so you're looking real homely, so you ain't trying to be on TV, right? And so you go through all of that. In addition to that, now we got to sign media release forms for the kids to be on the news. So you got to do all of that. Now we got to load all the kids and their bags on the bus. And I'm sure at this point, I would have been a bit anxious about missing my show because, of course, this event has definitely run way over time. It's definitely pushing about, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock now. And now my show's supposed to be at 8 o'clock and we still got to get back, and I got to go back the other way to get to the show. But even loading the bus is going to be an event, because all of the kids now have 5 or 6 bags. And there's going to be that one child or two who's going to act like they didn't hear that Mr. Michael said, even before we got on the bus, listen, let me tell y'all now, when we get on there, same seats on the way there, same seats on the way back. But it never goes down like that. There's always one or two that somehow missed the memo and they have a meltdown. Somebody's gonna start crying. Another kid doesn't like that his shoulder's too close to another kid and their shoulders are touching, and so they're having a moment. Plus, the kids are already stuffed on the bus because there's already not enough room. Now they all got 5 and 6 bags each, and so we're barely making it. Now we finally pull off and, you know, wave goodbye to Old Navy, and dang it, we gotta get some gas. Because let me tell you, those buses used to swallow up so much gas. You could fill the bus up, go to about 2 or 3 places, and you were already down to half a tank. And I mean, when I say go to 2 or 3 places, it's literally going down the street to the store to pick up something, going maybe 20 minutes one way to get something and 20 minutes back, and maybe another trip that was about 11 minutes one way and 11 minutes back, and the bus is already down to half a tank. Like, that bus used to just swallow gas, okay? So great, now we gotta go and get gas. And of course, I don't have a company card, because Boss Lady only gives us the stupid Costco card for supplies and everything. And so if the bus was not already filled up before we went and loaded up, I gotta spend my money out of pocket and get a reimbursement later down the line. I already told you at this point in time I wasn't making a whole lot, so it's already gonna piss me off that I gotta spend some money to load up a bus. And this is not like a cute sedan kind of engine, you know, you fill up about, you know, 11 or 12, maybe 13 gallons. Oh no, you know, you about to put about 25, 30 gallons into this bus, because again, 12 gallons ain't gonna get you home, especially if you end up in some random traffic jam, which is highly likely traveling in the DMV, and you're just sitting there idle with the heat on. Now, that gas really starts to drain down, right? So you gotta fill that bus up. You gonna put in that 30 gallons, and so you finally get the gas. You head back towards the center. Like I said, it's gonna be at least a 45-minute drive minimum. However, it's now like 6 o'clock, so the traffic is picked up, so it's not going to be 45 minutes. It's going to be about 1 hour and 20 minutes, and so you finally get back to the center. Great, everybody get off, all y'all go. Look, I got about an hour to somehow get home and get to this show. But guess what? You got a child or two who has not been picked up by their parent, and y'all just got to sit there and wait. And now the other kids in the neighborhood who didn't get to go also come and interrogate you about why they couldn't go on a trip, right? So finally, everybody is accounted for, everybody's been picked up. Now I would have had to rush home, shower, pray to God I remember my set list, remember to shave so I can at least look decent for the show, and then drive 40 minutes to the K2 Lounge for my show. So I was fine not going. And plus, hey, these ain't my kids, so basement location, go ahead and take y'all kids. But of course, all of them have excuses as to why they can't go. You know, oh, my grandma dropped a hot skillet on their foot, they gotta cut a toe off on Saturday, and oh, this person's a part of a war reenactment group for the Revolutionary War, and they're doing the battle at Bunker Hill on Saturday. Everybody's booked. So of course, guess who they decide is going to drive the bus? Ava. Listen, this was gonna be a different day. Plus, Ava and I had been very aware of how certain staff members on the team were given so many additional privileges. They were coddled, there were adjustments, there were accommodations, there were just so many things that were happening for some staff members that did the bare minimum all the time, and both of us were over it. A prime example, Michigan, who had just got there, right? Earlier in that same day, because like I said, there had been a bunch of arguments in this meeting. One of the arguments was the fact that Michigan was being allowed to have an hour and a half every day to go home and walk her dogs. I mean, she gave us a hoopla about this. I must walk my dogs. I must be able to go and walk my dog. That is one thing that I am not budging on. I am not budging. I'm like, what she mean she not budging? That ain't how stuff work around here, because the way they be having me and Ava over here building a great wall of China while everybody else get to kick back and relax. And so while she's making this big spill about why she must walk the dogs, and listen, I get it. I love animals. I absolutely do. But at that moment, all I can think about is that one time where I needed to take my mom to the airport because she had come to visit me right after finishing her radiation, and Boss Lady tells me, you know, can't you put her in a cab because they needed me to be at a field trip. So now I'm watching how the tide has changed. So, you know, my mom who flies in from town and half sickly and everything, and the least I can do is at least take her to the airport as she heads back and flies 3,000 miles away back to the West Coast. You know, that's too much of an issue. I need to be able to, you know, get rid of her so I can go to this field trip and bring these kids. Now we have a staff member who's going to be granted an hour and a half every single day for the dogs. And like I said, I ain't got nothing against the dogs, but again, we're seeing how the goalpost is moving. So Ava and I were not feeling it. And normally, if Ava was ready to really pop off at a meeting, I would always intervene and pretty much be the messenger and try to make it a bit more diplomatic, only because Ava had more to lose than me. They weren't really going to try to get rid of me at this point because nobody wanted my job. But Ava, they had been trying to find every reason to get rid of her anyway, so I always kind of protected her in that moment. But that day, I was like, you know what? Whatever she says, I'm 100% behind her. It's going to be a 2-for-1 special because that's some nonsense. So Ava looks, and she's like, wait a minute, so why do I have to drive the bus? These aren't even my kids, and y'all don't know what I'm doing on Saturday, so how y'all gonna tell me I gotta take y'all kids to something way out in the middle of nowhere? Y'all know I don't like driving a bus, and as far as I'm concerned, Michigan can drive the bus, because what was so funny was Michigan had been sitting there very quietly the entire time, like she had nothing to say. And mind you, what makes it even funnier is this is the same group of people who just, this time a year earlier, tried to get Ava fired because they were so mad that she was still taking college classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, which meant that somebody from the basement location would have to come to my site on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the summer, that, you know, they were like, Mr. Michael, you just got to get rid of her. She has to go. Everybody was just throwing the girl under the bus. They were ready for her to get up out of there. So here we are a year later, and now you need her to drive your kids somewhere. And mind you, our kids aren't even invited to this. And you guys are just assuming that none of us have things to do on our Saturday. And like I said, this was a woman who was in class Tuesdays and Thursdays, working at the centers Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and she still had to somehow find time to study, do her exams, and prepare for the center. So hey, weekends for her were really valuable. And hey, she still has a family, and she got a man. So she's occupied. So Ava's like, y'all have Michigan take the kids. She didn't say she wasn't available, so why y'all putting this on me? Out of nowhere, everybody in that room, probably aside from TT, harps on Ava. Michigan doesn't drive the bus. Michigan doesn't drive the bus. She doesn't drive the bus. Then Michigan gonna add it. I don't drive the bus. I don't drive the bus. And I'm sitting here like, what kind of place are we working at? And I'm in here jumping in, yeah, because that don't make no sense. Why is she gonna have to drive the bus if Michigan's available to do it? Y'all keep using us for everything. We have lives too. So we're in here just going off. And then boss lady jumps in. I would like to say one thing. We are a team, and being a team means that we make sacrifices so that these kids can thrive. So if you have a problem being a part of the team, then maybe you need to leave. And that is the end of that. We're moving on. So in that moment, I just knew that Boss Lady had sided with Ava and I. Like, I was like, finally, we got some backup in this MF-er. Okay, good. And so the meeting continues, but Ava still got a look on her face like something ain't sitting right in her spirit. And so at this point, it's probably been 20, 25 minutes since that big blow-up. We've moved on. The energy in there is finally almost getting good. And then Boss Lady makes another reference to Ava driving those kids to Old Navy. And I was like, wait a minute, because I had a screw face. Like, I thought we settled this. I thought y'all were telling Michigan to drive the bus. Why is Ava back in this? Ava's looking, and Ava had this look like it was just something sitting on her. You know how, like, when something's sitting in your spirit, and it rubs you the wrong way. And so we're having this meeting. Boss lady's talking about some other stuff out of nowhere. Ava goes, I just got one thing I need to say. Because you know what? I'm always about being a team player. When Michael needs me to do something, even if I don't want to do it, I'll do it. You know, when we go somewhere, if he needs me to drive the bus because we need to take two buses, I may be a little scared, but I will get my behind and drive that bus because I'm all about the team. I do all these different things. I go to class. Sometimes I'm only operating off of 4-5 hours of sleep, and I still have energy for the kids. And what I don't understand is how there are different rules for different people in this company, and we're supposed to be a team. I don't feel like we're moving as a team. And I'm looking at her like, yes, tell it. That's right. I didn't even have to say nothing because I was like, she's absolutely right. I'm giving her the look of affirmation. Like, you tell them I got your back in this. And so Ava's saying whatever she says. Now, mind you, Ava has said no names. She's just saying how she feels. Out of nowhere, Michigan stands up. Face is red. I mean red like, you just punched her in the back of the heart or something, right? Face is red. She starts crying. Like, I mean, and mind you, I need you to see the picture of this. Like, first of all, Michigan was like 5'11", 6'1". She got some height to her. So I'm like, who's this grown woman out here running and crying? So she... and like, she literally runs out of the room, right? I'm sitting here looking like, what just happened? Right when that happens, Daniel runs after her and follows her out in the hallway. You remember, Daniel's ex-soccer coach, right? And then John, of all people, mind you, I've told y'all this a million times. John, when I say bare minimum of anything, that's John. He don't like to do no work, all right? He's really not in the best shape to work with kids. He don't ever do no kind of physical nothing, but he had time to run behind Michigan that day. All of a sudden, he's Mr. Triathlete now. He don't ever do nothing physical when we need him to run with the kids. We say we're going to do something outside. He can't be out in the sun too long. Now, all of a sudden, he can run. Okay, so the two of them run after her. Michigan is in the hallway crying, Jess, unreasonable! No one understands! And I'm like, what is going on here? So now it's myself, it's Ava, it's TT, and it's Boss Lady. We just all looking at each other. Now, I need you to also understand, TT's black, Ava's black, I'm black, Boss Lady's Korean. We just all sitting there, and I'm looking like, it's interesting. I was like, Ava, you should have started crying too to see who would run after you. Because mind you, the three people who ran out in the hall, Daniel, Michigan, and John, they're all white. So I'm like, oh, they on cold today. So then Daniel comes back in there, and Ava's not having it because now she's like, anybody can catch it. Boss Lady doesn't know what to say. She didn't have all this mouth. Now she's just sitting there looking crazy. She's looking at me like I'm supposed to fix it. I'm like, listen, Ava's grown. I may be her boss, but she's absolutely right in how she feels. I'm not about to sit here and turn on her just because you don't know what to say. So Boss Lady's just like, okay. Okay, so then Daniel comes in the room. Way to go, Ava. And like, Ava said, what? Daniel, you got something you want to say? Because you can catch it too. Because she had been waiting to get Daniel, because Daniel had been doing a whole bunch of off-the-wall stuff over time. Lots of microaggressions and everything. So Daniel's like, oh, not at all. Like, he knew what time it was as soon as she responded. I think he thought that when, you know, he said, way to go, Ava, she was going to feel bad or something. And she did not, right? And so, God bless TT. I felt so bad because TT didn't know what kind of danger she was in. She was just trying to keep the peace. So TT was like, you know, well, maybe you didn't have to talk to her like that. And Ava had these glasses on, and I remember she took the glasses off and had the glasses in one hand. And mind you, all of this happened between Boss Lady, Daniel, and TT. This was all like in 20 seconds. I'm spreading this out because it just happened so quickly, but I gotta really paint the scene. And so TT had said that. I just looked down like, oh Lord. And Ava said, and again, I was not even talking to you. And I was like, Ava, where'd you get this New York accent from? I was not even talking to you. I was like, wait a minute. It was so funny. I was in there dying. It was so good because I was really like, dang, Ava, you should have ran out and cried because I just want to see who would have ran after you. And so it was the craziest day. Boss Lady just ended, she just ended the meeting because everybody needed to go and comfort Michigan. I was like, this is the privilege that I'm talking about. Because the more and more I looked at everything, the more annoyed I got. When I think about Ava, they gave her such a hard time. One, because she didn't have a degree. And mind you, her position didn't even require a degree. They were trying to act like she needed to have a master's in radiation therapy or something in order to work in this position that she had. And so it was just crazy when you started to see how things moved very differently, because the way that they treated Ava was such a contrast with how John got on. I'm not about to tell all of John's business, but just know that John had the right complexion to get through a whole bunch of doors, because this was somebody who, like I said, barely did anything and was literally given an entire center to run. Now, sadly, his center closed because of financial reasons with the company. But even after that, there was so much coddling to make sure that he always was employed, right? And I just found it so funny because at that point, Ava was more educated than John, because John chose not to finish high school. He didn't want to do it anymore because, again, he came from a bunch of money. So he's like, I don't want to do this anymore. And so at that point, you know, fast forward about another 5 or 6 months, Ava had a whole bachelor's. John had a GED. But John was the person who was eligible to run an entire center. Ava wasn't eligible to make $11 on a part-time position. Like, that's, see how stupid that sounds? And then now we have Michigan, who, again, we just saw everything that happened with Ava about not driving this bus, but we're going to grant Michigan an hour and a half to go and walk some dogs. And mind you, now I'm finding out she's not even eligible legally to drive the bus, which was a requirement to even work in the company. Oh yes, ladies and gentlemen, now we're getting deeper here. Now I was learning why everyone was so protective of Michigan. So I'm not going to tell all the girls' business. Mind you, it doesn't really matter. I've changed all these people's names anyway, but Michigan was not eligible to drive the bus because she had been convicted of 2 different offenses, not violent crimes or anything like that, but definitely an offense that can have a negative impact on everybody involved if there's a worst case scenario. And so she had been convicted of 2 of those, and that made her ineligible to drive the bus, which I found, again, so crazy because, hey, in order to work here, you had to be able to drive the bus. So now I'm like, the way that y'all don't play these games with the background checks and everything, now you mean to tell me that we have somebody who's not even eligible to work here, but they're in a position here anyway, and y'all are giving them the red carpet rollout? And apparently, those two offenses happened after she started working in the company. Because I was like, I swear I remember her driving a bus one time. Y'all sure she don't drive the bus? Because, you know, I'm over here asking questions. And then the part that annoyed me the most was the entire basement location staff knew about her situation. And none of them had the sense to, because they didn't have to tell us the girl's business. But they could have found a way to tell us that, hey, there's just a certain stipulation where she's not eligible to drive the bus because of, you know, private reasons or something like that. Instead of everybody just harping on Ava, she doesn't drive the bus. Like, and then she gonna jump into, I don't drive the bus. That's not leading us to anything, because now you got me and Ava looking crazy because we don't have all the information or the context about what's happening, and y'all are getting mad at us for responding in a way that most people are going to respond when they're told that they have to do something that somebody else should easily be able to do if it's in their job description. But nobody wants us to give the good scoop because everybody wants to coddle and cater and protect Michigan. No disrespect to Michigan, but listen. Sorry, if you've been through what Ava and I had to deal with that first year and a half, we don't have time for Michigan's tears. Sorry. So I'm like, you know, okay, y'all gonna have me lose it. If you think that day I blew up a boss lady at the one meeting was something, y'all keep playing in my face. And that was the part that made this job the most frustrating. I loved working with the kids, but it was the adults that would drive you crazy. And the worst part is, with meetings like that, they often would run over. And so by the time Ava and I would get back in the vehicle and run all the way back to our center, we barely had time to eat and prep for the day. And now you have busloads of kids coming. And no matter what weight was on your shoulder that day, you couldn't let that affect how you worked with the kids, because the kids didn't do anything wrong. So you don't meet them at the bus with an attitude because of something with Michigan and the people at the other location 40 minutes away. And so that was one of the challenges. And for me, I think the most frustrating part was at this point in time, I had really been able to increase the attendance at my center. When I first got there, there was about 35 kids coming a day. Now we're averaging about 50, sometimes as many as 60 kids every day. That was the same amount of kids as the basement location. However, when we talked about staffing, the basement location had about 4 or 5 full-time staff members and maybe 2 additional part-time staff members and some volunteers. My location, 1 full-time staff member, me, and then 2 part-time, Mr. Craig and Ava, and then whichever volunteer we had in that moment. And so I remember bringing it up to the boss, like, you know, do we get additional support at some time? Because, hey, you know, y'all want us to give the same kind of accolades and make sure we get the same results as all the other centers, but we barely even have any staff. And mind you, having Ava and having Craig, I didn't always have them at the same time because, like I said, Ava was still in college. So sometimes it's just me and Craig. And so boss lady would always be like, oh, well, you know, you have a smaller center, that's why. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense if we have the same amount of kids. We already don't have any space. The least we could do is have, you know, staff where we could really get creative and find different ways to really entertain all the kids. You got me and 1 or 2 people being stretched in. So those were the things that would sometimes just really drive you crazy. But man, when I tell you, those meetings were off the chain. Anyway, back to the children. Now, remember in the last episode, I talked about the kid Bile. He was a really nice kid who did the speech at the fundraising event, and his mom was really nice, and he had the younger brother who had a cerebral palsy, right? His mom always did really nice stuff for the center, so a lot of times, I would try to do the same thing for their family if needed. And so every year, it became a tradition for us to celebrate Bile's younger brother's birthday. This is the brother Aaron that has cerebral palsy. And so every year, he would come to the center, and we would kind of decorate a little bit and just kind of throw him his own birthday party just for him, you know, because a lot of times, he didn't get a chance to really interact with a lot of kids. He was always at home, so we wanted him to feel special too. On this specific day, it was just Mr. Craig and I on staff, but we did have Lisa the volunteer. If you remember, she's the volunteer that we love working with. She's been around for a good minute. She was referenced in one of the episodes where I talked about the kid Dre who got kicked out of his house, and then Ava, Lisa, and I were trying to figure out how to fix Dre's situation. That was Lisa. And so on this particular day, what was so funny was Hannah was mad with me because she was supposed to be snack helper. And because all of a sudden Aaron was having his birthday party, that meant that we weren't having regular snack. If you remember, Hannah is the girl from the earlier episode where I talk about Monica and chasing him with the dollar store heist that did not go too well, right? Hannah is very literal. You cannot switch up routines on her because she don't like that. Like, she already got stuff locked in and it's going to be the way it is. When you switch it up, she's going to let you know. And so I remember one time we were going to take the kids outside to do baseball, right? I was like, we're going to be creative today. We're going to play baseball. And so she had watched the news earlier that day. And earlier in the news, they said it was going to rain later that night. And all she heard was, it's going to rain. And so I'm like, all right, kids, you know, come on. We're going to go on out and I'm going to put you on the teams. Mr. Michael, it's going to rain. Well, yeah, but it's not going to rain till tonight. The news said it's going to rain. Yeah, but see, that's why we're going to go outside now before the rain comes, so we don't have to worry. But it's going to rain. I don't want to get wet. Yes, you're right. But look outside. You see out the window? You see how there's the partly cloudy skies, right? It's all peaceful. You see the birds. They're out there having a good time right now. The rain is not coming till later. I don't want to get wet. Okay, you know, go on and get your umbrella. Just bring your umbrella. Come on. Because at this point, there's no point in going back and forth because she's not budging. That's why I say, like, listen, if I were to ever do any kind of big top-tier crime like rob a bank, she'd probably be a really good getaway driver because she is not going to give up on the mission. Like, we're going to get to wherever we need to go because she's not giving up. Okay? I need to go find Hannah. Look, just in case rents start getting too high, I got to come up with a plan B. But anyway, on that day, she was mad with me because she knew that if Aaron was having this big elaborate party, and really it wasn't a big elaborate party, but to a kid, a few balloons and some streamers is everything, right? But she knew that this big elaborate party means we're not having regular snack. The kids love being snack helper because that meant that for that 10 or 15 minutes where we had snack, other than the staff, they were the most powerful person in the room. They got to pick and choose who would get snack first and who would get snack very last. This is the way that the kids used to get their karma and payback in. If there was a kid that they didn't like, oh, please understand, that kid was getting called dead last for snack. Or they would be real shady and act like they didn't see them. Like, oh, I didn't call somebody? Is there somebody I missed? Like, these kids used to be so shady when they wanted to be. So Hannah got an attitude with me because, again, being snack helper was social currency at this center. So now she's chewing me out. Mr. Michael, if we're doing the cake, that means I'm not going to be snack helper. I won't be able to pass out the snacks. And I'm trying to meet her where she is. I'm like, well, you know, well, how about we do this? Like, it's still going to be a cake. So, you know, we can just pass the cake and stuff out like that. I'm not allowed to be by knives. And I'm like, ooh, yeah, I certainly believe it. And so we made a deal. You know, Mr. Michael was going to go and I'm going to cut the cake into all these different pieces. And she would just pass the pieces out because, man, she wasn't having it. Because the thing, too, she knew if she didn't have this day, it wasn't going to be her time again for probably another 2 months. Because we picked snack helper based on the roster with the calendar alphabetically. So, you know, you just put all the kids on the calendar based on the roster and everything's cycle, so the kids get to be snack helper about 3 or 4 times during the school year. So she knew she wasn't missing this day. So now we're finally having a celebration, and so Aaron's there with the mama. You know, she done put him in his spot and got him all situated at this nice table, and he has the birthday hat and all the streamers and stuff. All the kids have been called inside. And what's so funny too, whenever we have anything with food, the whole neighborhood shows up. Like, it's crazy. Anytime we did anything with food, when I tell you they could pack the place out. But let it be something else like a program or a parent class or a parent meeting or some kind of book drive. Ain't nobody there. It's empty, right? We over here begging for people to come through the doors. But let it be some food. Everybody shows up. Kids I ain't ever seen before. Like, where are you from? Kid from a neighborhood across the street. How'd you find out? Everybody heard there was cake. So, you know, Aaron about to have the most jumping party on the block. But what was so funny is Mr. Craig and I are real different with how we approach these moments. And so Mr. Craig ain't got no cut card. He was like, whoa. If you ain't got a gift, turn back around. If you ain't one of the regular kids coming in here every day, you ain't getting no cake today. This ain't our job to feed y'all or the neighborhood. So go on and turn around. Your kids are already practically coming here for free. Go on and turn around. And you know you got diabetes. I'm like, Craig, too much. We can't insult the people now. Even Pee-wee found his way up in this party, right? Now, remember, Pee-wee was the kid that was 3 still wearing a pull-up and cussing like a sailor. At this point, he's 4. He's not wearing a pull-up anymore, but he's learned to cuss even more. But anyway, I'm like, Pee-wee, what are you doing in here? Here for dessert. What? Here for dessert. The dessert, but go on and sit with your sister. Just go sit with LaShawn. It's so funny. The challenge with this podcast is trying to rename everybody because, again, I didn't use anybody's real name, so I was starting to run out of names. So randomly, Bebe's Kids was on TV, so that's where Pee-wee and LaShawn came from. But anyway, so we're doing the cake, you know, we're getting ready to sing happy birthday. And by the way, I also discover that Aaron and Bele have an older brother who I've never met. Like, normally I was pretty familiar with most of the people in the neighborhood. And because I always saw Aaron and Bele's mom all the time, it's like, you never brought up that you had another son. And this son was probably about 20 years old. So I'm like, oh, okay. But see, what I didn't know was this older son also had some kind of condition. I didn't know what it was, but listen, working in this field, you always get hit with a bunch of surprises every day. You just be finding out stuff after the fact. And so I have Hannah get ready to sing happy birthday, and I'm like, oh, do we want to do the candles? And the mom said, no candles. I was like, oh, okay, no candles. All right, cool. And so no candles. And so I'm like, I don't want to ask no questions. We've used candles before, but now we're not using them. Maybe, I don't know, it must be something with this older brother because he hasn't been at the other parties. Like I said, Aaron was coming every year for a birthday party, and I think at that specific time he was turning 13, but all of a sudden we couldn't use candles. And I was like, actually, this might be okay because Hannah already can't be by knives, and I don't know how she is with fire. fire. She might be one of them Pyro kids. So, or Pyro, I'm over here naming gangs. But anyway, so we're all singing happy birthday, and here is the visual. There's a table with a cake on it, and I'm standing behind the table. Next to my right is Hannah, and to her right is Bile. To my left is Aaron. He's in his chair. He got his crown on. It's a good day. Mama bought him a nice birthday outfit. He has the biggest smile on his face. Like, dude, he has such a happy smile. Such a happy kid. Because, again, he doesn't talk or anything. He'll smile and look at you, but he understands everything you're saying. And he can read really good and bad energy. So he's in a great mood. To his left is the mom. And then to her left is that son I told you about that I ain't never met before. And so he's kind of standing in, like, what would be the corner. Like, the wall is right there. And then across from us are all the kids sitting in chairs. So it's maybe about 30 or 40 kids in chairs sitting and waiting and everything like that. Mr. Craig is standing in the back behind the kids, and you know, he's like 6'5", 6'6", so he towers over everybody. But at that point, the kids were sitting down, and so he's in the back. Everybody's singing happy birthday, all is well, and we're just singing and happy birthday. And I kind of noticed to my left that, remember the son I told you about that we had never met before? I'm noticing that he's kind of wobbling while we're singing. But I'm thinking he's just rocking to the song. Like, he really likes how everybody sounds because the kids sounded good. I was like, okay. And so the kids are singing, two, and then out of nowhere, he just passes out. It was crazy. Like, he falls face first right onto the table. Fortunately, the table did not flip up or anything. The cake did not move. I don't know what kind of tables we had, but let me order some more of those from Amazon or somewhere because that was a good table. So he falls face first on the table and then rolls off to the side, and he's on the floor on his back. And all of us, because it happened so fast, I'm like, whoa. And then Hannah goes, I think he's dead, Mr. Michael. I'm like, man. And in my head, I'm like, that's the worst thing you can say out loud. Because all the kids are freaking out, like, oh, wow. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then Pee was like, are we still getting dessert? I'm like, y'all, what is going on? And so, you know, I'm like, is he good? Is he good? So I'm walking over there. And the mom is like, oh, no, he's fine. He does this all the time. I'm like, are you sure? So, you know, sometimes people will go and they'll kind of like, you know, kind of pat a person in the face to kind of bring them back to consciousness. She wasn't doing no little light pity patters. Or no, she was slapping the mess out this dude. Hitting him in the face to get him up. And so at this point, she switched languages. She's speaking in Urdu, trying to get him to, like, wake up. And I'm like, what do we do here? And she's like, just cut the cake, cut the cake, cut the cake. Because she's, like, talking really fast now. It's, like, it's really, like, anxious in there. The kids are also kind of just staring. Lisa, because I think Lisa was standing by the kitchen. Lisa's running. She, you know, getting her phone ready, like, do I dial 911? And the mom was like, no, just get a chair, get a chair. I'm like, okay, get a chair. And so she's propping him up and yanking him and everything. And, yeah, I mean, he's starting to kind of wake up a bit. And I'm like, okay, all right. And mind you, Aaron is pissed off in that chair, all right? Aaron got an attitude. Like, he's looking at his brother like, you are effing up my party. Like, Aaron had this look, and I felt so bad. And so the mom requested that we get one of the roller chairs out of the computer lab. These big old blue chairs that could kind of roll and everything. And so we're like, okay. And so I'm like, does he need water? He juice? You know, is there something that he needs? Like, any kind of medication or something we need to know about? Oh, no, he's fine. I'm going to take him home. Oh, she was like, Billy's going to take him home. I'm like, is he good, though? And she kept trying to imply or insist that, hey, he does this all the time. He just randomly passes out sometimes. Y'all are good. Cut the cake. So now I'm, you know, we've already cut the cake anyway. So, you know, I'm like, okay, I guess I'll start calling kids to come and get cake. Mind you, the son is still on the floor. Like, he's kind of set up a little bit. And Lisa and Mr. Craig, you know, they rolled a blue chair over. They done propped him and put him in a chair and everything. Meanwhile, Hannah was already calling kids to come get their plate. She was like, well, look, I got a job to do, so y'all come on, get y'all cake. And so I was like, this is the most just chaotic group, because now here's the visual. There's the table with the cake. To my right, you got Hannah calling kids. The kids are starting to line up to Hannah's section of the table to get their cake. To my left, you got Lisa and Mr. Craig trying to help this kid in the chair, in the blue chair, and prop him and hold him up. The mama's still speaking in Urdu, cussing him out to wake back up and everything else like that. And now you got Bile over there, and now he's trying to roll his brother out the door in the computer chair and roll him back on home, which I'm just like, this is crazy. And the worst part, and I swear it's not funny. I promise it's not funny. But every time that chair would hit a bump or any kind of uneven surface on the sidewalk, the way the guy's head would just kind of move with the motion of the bump. I'm like, y'all, at least hold his head up. Hold his head up while you're rolling him, okay? Like, do him like a newborn. You got to give the neck and the head support, all right? And so they roll him on home. And meanwhile, while he's rolling, the party just continued. I mean, Hannah's passing out the cake. The mom was acting like all is well. She's trying to butter Aaron back up. I was like, this is a lot. Okay. Just a regular day. the Christmas parties were also a lot of fun as well. Now, there were always two. There was the staff one. That's the one where all the staff from all of the centers, and not just the centers in my region, but all the centers in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, they get together. They got the music, the liquor. They doing the hardcore partying, right? They really turning up. You wouldn't even think these people work with kids the way they partied up in there. So you'd have that party, but then there was also the party you would throw at your center for the kids and their families, and these were always fun. We would partner with the rental office and Toys for Tots, and this would be great because every kid in the neighborhood, even the kids that may not necessarily always come to the center, every kid in the neighborhood got toys, and not just any old toys, but I mean, they got good toys. I mean, they were getting Bratz dolls, and they were getting, later down the line, they were getting drones and race cars and all kinds of stuff, bikes, scooters. I mean, they had some good toys. I'm like, oh, we did this. And so the way that our parties would work is the kids would enter through the rental office. They would get their toys and everything like that. And there's a door that separates our center from the rental office. It's normally closed all year, but on special occasions, it would be open if we were doing some kind of event together. And so once they got their toy, then they would come into our side. And then our side was decorated. We have the Christmas lights inside, the Christmas tree. There's food. There's hot chocolate. There's music. And one of the greatest parts is we let the kids perform. Like, we made an entire production. Like, the holiday was lit at the center. And so a lot of times we always love to include the kids in everything, even the planning for our events. We wanted them to feel that everything we were doing was something that they belonged to. It wasn't just something that Ava and I or Mr. Craig or Lisa were orchestrating and just telling them to do it. It was something where they had buy-in, they had investment. It was something that they spent their time working on. So when things would go really well, they would be really, really proud. And so we always had performances at the holiday party, always. And there was a girl toy. I talked about her some episodes back. She was the girl who really loved the idea of being a teacher. She was in about fourth or fifth grade. And I mean, she loved this teacher thing so much to the point where, you know, she would go and buy supplies. And then she would take all the kindergartners and the first graders and she would have her class. And them kids would take naps. She would make homework packets. She'd be making snacks. She'd be having them sing songs. But Toy was the artsy student as well. She loved theater. She loved to sing. She loved to dance. So I always let her be in charge of the performances. And so one day she came to me. She's like, "Mr. Michael, I need you to understand something." And I'm like, "Toy, what's the issue? How is it that I'm going to be able to do my job if people keep giving me challenges?" And I'm like, "What's the problem? Clint, it's Clint. He's doing the most." Let me give some backstory. So we had a family that had moved in, and man, it was four of them, but only three went to the center because the youngest one was too young to come. So you had Clayton, Clint, and Clive, and then a little sister, Caitlin, who wasn't old enough to come yet. And when I tell you, they used to take us there, okay? That was one family, because there was only one other family that used to drive us crazy, and that was Tiffany's family. So if you remember, I talked about Tiffany from some of the earlier episodes. She was the little girl who was super, super nosy, always in grown folks' business. She would find her way into all the drama. So there was Tiffany, and she had her brother Antoine, who was about a year younger than her, and he was always just mad all the time. Mad at the world, right? And so he and JJ used to fight every day, right? JJ was the one who took the shrimp out of my hand, and I accidentally knocked his tooth out when we was playing football. Like, so there was Antoine with attitude, there's Tiffany who's nosy, and then they had a little sister, Angel, who I will say at that time was no angel. Cutest thing ever, but man, that girl, I was like, this child is possessed. Like, something is wrong. And then they had another sibling on the way because the mom was pregnant. But that family there, Ava didn't have the patience that I had, and so sometimes she would be over it. And so one time she had talked to the mom, and they had made a pact, and the pact was pretty much when one of them got in trouble, all of them just went home. And I'm like, we can't just kick all the kids out. And so one day, I remember, I think Antoine said something smart back to Ava, and they was like, "You know what, listen, let me tell you right now, if I talk to you or anybody from your family, your whole family's going home." And so from that day, there would be moments where I'd be pulling up like with snack or something, and I would see the four of them, or the three of them, with the little backpacks going out the door. I'm like, I ain't even gonna ask no questions. Somebody done got sent home. And I used to feel so bad because Antoine really didn't do that much. He just had attitude. But his sisters, Tiff and Angel, used to always do something, and then everybody got in trouble. So he was collateral sometimes. And so when they would get sent home, he'd be like, "Man, you're so annoying. You're so annoying." I used to feel so bad for him. I was like, Lord. But anyway, Clayton, Clinton, Clive, those three. Now that's another family. Like, there's only been one child I have ever yelled at where I had to just go in, and it was Clayton. Clayton got me out of my character one time, but it was years later. Like, so at this point in time, I think Clayton was in fourth grade, Clint was in second, and Clive was in first. and Clint wanted to perform because Clint liked to rap. So did Clayton, right? And so Toy had an attitude because she didn't like the song that Clint wanted to perform. And so she's like, yeah, he's trying to perform some song that he wrote. I already told him it's the holiday. We're singing holiday songs, right? See, Crystal, they're singing All I Want for Christmas. The other girls are singing some song that their mom made them sing, but it's a Christmas song. And he wants to sing something. And I'm like, well, you know what? We got to give everybody a chance. Why don't we just let him do his song? You focus on what you're going to do and make sure everybody just is ready. We just need everybody to be good. And as long as the songs are appropriate, I think we're going to be okay. We got to give everybody a chance. And so she had all this attitude. She was mad. She wasn't having it with me. She was just like, okay, fine. If you want a disaster, so be it. That's what you'll get. But don't come to me and complain when everything falls apart. Like, it's so funny because these kids would be so grown. And I'm like, did this little girl really just pull my card like that? But anyway, so it's finally the holiday party, and it's a great time. The kids have all gotten their toys. Everybody's in a good mood. There's parents that are there. You know, we got the decorations. We have the holiday music. I always like to boil cinnamon on the stove because it kind of makes it really... If you ever want to clear the air and you don't have, like, air freshener or something, you don't want to burn candles, boil some cinnamon on the stove and some water. Like, it will get rid of any kind of bad air, and the room just has, like, a really nice smell. So anyway, I got that going. You know, Boss Lady has showed up. Right? Ava's there, Craig is there, Lisa's there. It's a great time. Some of the parents are sitting there. And so the kids have been doing their performances. Everybody's been singing their holiday songs. We've done games. And so we have one last performance left. So Toy goes up there with an attitude. All right. And for our last performance, please welcome Clint and a special guest or something he just told me. And I'm like, special guest? Oh, okay. They're going all out with this one. So Clint comes out. Now, mind you, even though Clint and Clayton drove me crazy on occasion, the kids loved them, okay? They were some of the cooler kids in the club because they were fun. Like, they had a great sense of humor. When I wasn't having to correct them every 5 minutes, they were actually some really great kids. Really, really smart. But, man, they had some mouths on them. They always did stuff. They just always doing something. But anyway, so Clint comes out with these shades, and he had told Toy to turn the lights off, so Toy turned the lights off and turned them back on, and then all the kids are screaming and everything. Clint comes out with the Santa hat and shades and this big old chain, right? And so Clint, you know, he's, hit it! I'm like, okay, go hit it. And so he says, hit it, and his brother Clayton turns the music on, and so Clint starts rapping. Like, he's rapping some song he done made up, and mind you, Clint is going in. Like, it's actually good. I'm like, oh, all right, Clint, hey! Okay, so Clint is rapping down, you know, he passes it to the brother, and then Clayton starts rapping. So I'm like, these kids are actually really talented. Okay, I know how I'm gonna work with them from now on. You know, I found the lane that's gonna work to kind of manage these two. They ain't gonna drive me crazy anymore. And all is going well. And like I said, there's parents in there, there's guests, people are taking pictures and laughing. And so out of nowhere, Clint, yeah, I mean, he's feeling himself, and he goes, now cut the shit. I'm like, what? No. The way Ava ran to turn that music off. Oh, it was so funny. Like, we were like, oh, shoot. I was like, you know, I went and I was like, okay, all right. Thank you for those performers. And Toy's looking at me like, I told you so, Mr. Mike. This is what I was trying to tell you. Like, man, that day was so funny. Speaking of Ava, we both moved very differently when it came to our personal lives and how much we wanted to share with the kids. Ava didn't get the luxury to have any privacy because she lived in the neighborhood. Like, all of her business was right there in front of the kids all the time because she was a product of the neighborhood. Everybody knew her before she even worked there. Some of the kids actually lived in her same building. So Clarissa's family lived in her building. Monica's family lived in her building. There were a bunch of kids and everything that kind of just... She used to babysit some of these kids years earlier. And so she never really quite had any privacy. They were always in her scoop. Me, I had the luxury of not living in the neighborhood, so I could kind of have a personal life to an extent. You know, sometimes you'll see a kid at the grocery store or something because I didn't live far from the center. But, you know, if it came to, like, parties or happy hour or something, the kids were never going to see me, you know, stumbling back home. Like, I that was never going to be a thing. That didn't happen with Ava either, so no, she was not stumbling home. But the point that I'm making is, like, I had the luxury of being far enough away from the center where I could still enjoy my life. Like, I kept a lot of things away from the kids. Like, they didn't even know I had a YouTube channel until years later. They didn't know my father had died until months after the fact. Like, even when he passed, I still went to work the next day because we had a bunch of stuff that we needed to manage in regards to a grant. And the kids had a field trip that day, and I came near like it was nothing. And so I just was always really someone who wanted the kids to really enjoy their childhood and not be stressed out about, you know, the burdens of what may happen to the adults that, you know, they really care about. So I wanted them to know Mr. Michael was always good. They didn't even know I did music until years later. And it was so funny because I just remember, God, when my first album came out, I just remember I was in the main room, and then I start hearing my voice coming from the computer lab. I look in that computer lab. Of course, it's Clayton, right? Clayton is gathered by the computer. He got everybody gathered by the screen. And they're playing, like, I made, like, an album sampler. And so they're playing the sampler. I'm like, oh, my God, how did they find this? How? And, of course, it's one of the songs where I'm rapping. And, of course, to kids, somebody who's rapping in their late 20s is like, ha, what a loser. And so they're having a field day. You know that? Like, just dying at the computer. And, like, low-key, my feelings are getting hurt while they're laughing at my songs. And so, you know, it was real interesting. But anyway, going back. So, when Ava had her boyfriend, I always told everybody that her boyfriend was actually her brother. That way they would not kind of, you know, be in the business. I was like, oh, that's her brother. You know, that's her brother. Her brother always comes. Because, you know, the boyfriend was always coming. And, you know, he would stop by and bring lunch and stuff. And he was real cool. And so, Clarissa comes to me one day. She's like, Mr. Michael, we have a problem. Like, why do y'all always have all these problems? Can't y'all just play at the playground like normal kids? What happened now? I don't want to say too much, but I saw Miss Ava kissing her brother. I was like, oh, God. What do you mean you saw them kissing? Yeah, I was looking through her window. I'm like, why are you looking through her window? Well, I just was looking. They were kissing. I was like, oh, God. And I'm like, did you tell anybody? Yeah, I told everyone. I was like, everyone knows. I'm like, y'all, okay. Thank you for telling me. And I'm like, Ava, just so you know, everybody has questions about you and your brother. Ava was hot. So we had to sit there and explain, like, okay, no, that's not her brother. That's actually her special friend. And Claire said, well, why are they kissing? God dang. Okay, they boyfriend and girlfriend. And then all the kids, oh, I'm like, mind y'all business. I couldn't stand bringing nobody to the center because they always had questions. Who's that? Who's she? She's not the same one from the last time. I'm like, okay, all right. Kids will get you caught up because they talk too much. Now, the one thing that I just never grew to like, no matter how many years I worked there, was summer camp. Summer camp was just the most physically draining 8 weeks ever. It was our cash crop program. It was the one time we actually brought in some money because we didn't really charge for much other than membership. And so summer camp is when you had, you know, the weekly payments coming in for those 8 weeks. But man, it was just a physically draining experience. And to be in such a small location for 8 hours with a bunch of kids, and you got to do breakfast, you got to do lunch, you got to do field trip, you got to do pool day, you got to do field day, you got to do activities. Like, the entire day has to be planned. There's no such thing as just kind of having free time, because free time gets old very quick. And a lot of times, if you have too much free time, that's when the kids find themselves getting into trouble and doing things they shouldn't do. So when you can keep them occupied with activities and things that are stimulating their brains and their minds, then, you know, it's usually a really smooth day. But there's just so much. You got to deal with the food vendors. You got to deal with paying for the field trips. You got to deal with the logistics of getting the bus everywhere. It's just so much. And so I had been spending a lot of time working with the county because, again, the county paid the overhead for my center. Even though my company did its thing, the county was the one that was paying the bills around there. So I went to all of the county meetings. I knew everybody who was somebody that worked in youth development in that entire region, whether they were from my company or from the county or from other partnering agencies in the area. And so I came up with the bright idea of, hey, you know what? There's this really big community center right across the street. And I mean, it was huge. I just call it the Mega Center. I mean, they had a pool. I mean, an actual pool, like a neighborhood pool that people went to. So they had this giant pool. They had baseball fields, football fields. They had a gym with a full basketball court. They had this massive teen room that was the size of my entire club. They had an industrial kitchen. They even had a senior citizen center within the center. I mean, the senior citizens used to be in there fighting over bingo, but they had that. They had, what else did they have? They had all these different classrooms, art rooms. They had a computer lab. Now, my computer lab was better than theirs, but they had a computer lab. They had everything. They had like 25 staff members. They had this big old cafeteria. I mean, it was the perfect location. I called it the Mega Center. So because I was always in these meetings, I came up with the idea. I was like, it would be really cool if we partnered with the Mega Center, because that way me and Ava don't have to stuff all of these kids in my tiny little center for 8 hours all day. It would be dope if, you know, we do a shared camp and we just host our camp over there and share. It would be great. And, you know, maybe we can even get the prices cheaper, because the Mega Center, their summer camp was only $10 a week. literally $10 on a sliding scale. Ours was $25 a week, which again is still really cheap because at the end of the day, most summer camps in the area are always upwards of $150, $200 every week. We were charging $25, right? And so I'm like, what better way than to weed out the competition than by joining the competition and seeing if we can get a bunch of OKs from the people up top to just do a joint summer camp. And the best part was, there was a guy, Domo, that I knew. Domo actually used to work at my company. And then he transferred out and ended up working with the county, and now he was the director of this mega center. So I'm like, this sounds great. So, you know, I run it by boss lady, and she's like, okay, yeah, that's wonderful idea. Wonderful idea. Partnerships, this is what we're all about. Yes, you have my blessing. And so I'm hyped because everything sounds like it's about to go according to plan. This was going to be the smoothest summer camp ever. No stress, mainly because what was going to happen is we were going to bus all of our camp kids over to the mega center, let the mega center run the camp for our kids because they'll share with their kids. And hey, there's also a clause with the county that says any center that has any kind of overhead or support from the county cannot close during service hours. Service hours are from 9 to 5, so that means somebody still needs to be at the center between 9 and 5. So hey, let's bus our kids over. We'll go back to our center and we'll just kind of kick back and we'll have open labs. So technically we're open as long as the door is unlocked. So hey, if a teenager or two who's too old for summer camp comes in because they need to print out some paper, come on in, right? And that was going to be our next 8 weeks. It sounded like heaven for Ava and I because it was like, hey, the heavy lift and the burden of running a summer camp is no longer on us. The mega center has it all. They have the programs, the county does their thing. It's going to be heaven for Ava and I. We can finally get a break. We can breathe. Thank you, Lord. And then came the implementation. First of all, after I've already signed all the documents and contracts and the agreements have been locked in, I find out that, oh no, you're not about to just drop your kids off and think you get to kick back and relax for 8 weeks. Oh no, you and Ava are gonna also be at the mega center, and you too will also be running programs for the kids. And as far as your center staying open for the kids that need services, don't worry, you will have John and Mr. Craig back at your center to run open lab because we're gonna need you guys at the mega center. So all of a sudden, my fantasy dream of Ava and I relaxing for 8 weeks and not having to carry the load of running a summer camp and entertaining children ages 5 to 12 for 8 hours Monday through Friday all day and then waiting for parents to come pick them up, it's all falling apart. And now we will be at the Mega Center too, and instead, John, of all people who does no work, gets to relax at my center while I'm over here doing the work. And Craig gets to kick back. I didn't have a problem with Craig kicking back because Craig put in his work, but still, my plan is falling apart. And so I will always remember that first week. When I tell you we were so drained, I mean, even the way the day started was chaotic. So for logistics, we always had about 30 to 35 kids every morning. And so what would happen is we'd have to usually do about 2 trips to get to the mega center. And by the time my kids got to the center, I had already had a roster of who was going to be there, who wasn't. We've taken attendance. It has all of my kids' information. I've already put all of my information and given it to the main person at the front desk at the mega center so they could put my kids' information into their system. So for my kids, signing in wasn't too bad. We'd pull up, I'd give them the roster, and then my kids could head straight to the cafeteria and start breakfast, and all the kids would be in the cafeteria until the day started. However, some logistics for the mega center. They were supposed to have about 150 kids for their camp. Now, mind you, they got about 20 staff, so, you know, they can definitely handle all the kids. But that year, they took in more than what they were supposed to have. What was supposed to happen was the cap was supposed to be 150, and it was supposed to also include my 30 to 35 that were there, right? Instead, they still had the 150, plus my 30 to 35, and on top of that, they had an additional 30 kids that were kind of like last-minute signups, so there were 210 kids at this camp. And so the process for signing in for other children who were not mine, you know, parents that just had their kids going to the mega center, those parents had to stand in this long line, and each child got signed in one by one. And they only had one person working the front desk, and that person used to move so slow. It was this older guy named Mr. Gray. I loved Mr. Gray because Mr. Gray was no BS, but when it came to anything with technology or anything with computers and rosters and Excel sheets, oh man, he was moving slower than Dionne Warwick on that Celebrity Apprentice episode. I was like, you're killing me softly. And so every morning, the way the parents would be so triggered when they'd see me and my busload of 25 or 30 or whatever walk right past all of them in line for 30 minutes and send my kids straight to the cafeteria. Every time I would give Mr. Gray that piece of paper and we'd walk past everybody, oh, the parents weren't having it. They had attitude. I mean, they sucking teeth. Oh, hell no. What the? Why the? They always get to be in front of my child. I got to get to work. This don't make no motherfucking sense. This some bullshit. I want to know who he's supposed to be. And sometimes I'll look back. Yeah, I'm talking about you. And you're sitting here like, now y'all giving me all the smoke like I'm not about to be watching your kids for the next 8 hours. Like, the nerve. And it also didn't help. I wasn't in a capacity to be able to get the price reduced for my kids so it could be $10 like the kids at the Mega Center. So my kids were still paying $25. So it's kind of like, I totally understand as a parent, you want to get to work. You don't want to stand in line for 30 minutes. So it would be a little annoying to see a busload of kids walk past yours every day. But hey, y'all get the luxury to only pay $10 every week. My kids still got to pay $25. They're paying twice plus another $5. And, you know, they got to get up earlier and everything else because they have to get on the bus just to even come to this center. So, you know, we caught some smoke. And, hey, my center was always open. If they wanted to be able to just hop on my bus and come with my kids so they didn't have to stand in line, all they had to do was register at my center. And, hey, they would get bussed over. They'd pay $25, but, hey, they could jump the line. But, you know, it was chaos. But anyway, once all the kids get in, then they all go to the cafeteria for breakfast. And this is when I knew, like, I think we've bitten off more than we can chew here. The food, my God. In comparison, the year before when Ava and I had to run our summer camp at our location, we had a different food vendor than what the Mega Center was using during this specific year. Our food vendor, in my opinion, still sucked. They got on my nerves as well. But they pretty much gave us the food that we had to cook. The food that was coming to the Mega Center this summer was already cooked and they just served it. So the stuff that Ava and I had the year before, even though it was frozen or, you know, cold and you had to prepare it, we enhanced everything. You know, we brought our own seasonings and marinades and stuff from home, and we knew how to hook up some food. Because if it's one thing when it comes to food, especially with children, I believe in cooking and serving food with love. You don't just give folks anything just because it's there. I do not like watching kids get some BS kind of presentation with food. Just because they're kids does not mean that they don't have taste buds. And so we used to get in trouble with the old food vendor because that lady with the clipboard would come in and she'd be like, I don't remember us having, you know, barbecue pulled chicken sandwiches. And what ended up happening is, you know, they gave us some cold sandwiches that you were supposed to just serve cold. It's like a chicken patty that's already pre-cooked and then they put it in the refrigerator and you're supposed to serve it cold. Now, you know, Ava and I, we done got marinade and barbecue sauce and honey and all this stuff and made our own little sauce and then heated the patties up and put them in the sauce and let them soak and marinate and put seasoning and all. And then we got the buns. We done added mustard and and so we would always add all the stuff to the food. If they gave us some bland oatmeal, I mean, we were chopping up berries and putting whipped cream on the top of the oatmeal and nettle milk, if you know what that is. And so they used to be like, y'all cannot add all this to this goes against the program. You can't be adding all this stuff, okay? This is not Big Mama's house. That's literally how they were looking at us. It got to the point where if there were seconds, but there weren't enough seconds for everybody and we had to figure out how we were going to ration it out, I mean, there would almost be fights with these kids because they wanted the seconds. The food was jumping just like that. I'll always remember that time I made the sweet and sour chicken and we ain't had enough. So I was like, you know what? For those who want to get seconds, you got to get a trivia question right. And I remember poor Otis. Otis had a meltdown because he was getting all the questions wrong. Why do you always got to do division questions? I'm like, Lord, this is crazy. But literally, our food was jumping. So to go from that to what we were witnessing at this center, I'm like, wow. And so here we are at this center, at the Mega Center, and if you could see what these kids got, I mean, sometimes they'd have an okay breakfast. They might get like a whole grain pancake, but just one, and they wouldn't get no syrup. It would be some kind of sugar-free syrup because, you know, I guess the sugar content went against the program or something. So they get like some sugar-free syrup, like one pancake, and those little tiny cups that, you know, about three swallows of some grape juice. That was breakfast. And it was crazy because, you know, the fourth graders, the fifth graders, the sixth graders, they're big kids. I'm sure, you know, when they go to fast food, they're not getting a kid's meal. They going ahead and they're getting a Whopper like the adults, or they get a Big Mac like the adults. And so to watch them give these kids this little bit of food and that's supposed to hold them until lunchtime, I was like, this is crazy. And like I said, they were already over in number. So that first week or two, because I think we had to put the food orders in before you even started the camp. The first week or two, there was only enough food for them 150 kids, and we had 210. And I will always remember it was lunchtime. And so they're serving food and stuff. I'm trying to help, you know, they had Ava and I more so being like kind of just monitors in the cafeteria while you have all these kids eating. And I'm like, hey, Domo, they're saying that they're about to run out of food and we still got like three more groups of kids that need to get in line for food. And that day it was tacos. You know, it wasn't too bad. You know, they had the tortilla shell, a little bit of meat, maybe some lettuce, and I think some shredded cheese. That was the tacos. Delicious, right? And so I'm looking, they done ran out of the tortilla shells and everything. And I'm like, yeah, Domo, so do we need to just eat? Should I, you know, run to the store and get something? No, man, we could just put some meat on the plate. Yeah, just put some meat on their plate and put the lettuce on top. It'd be like a salad. What? And I'm sitting there looking like, for real? Yeah, man, we do that all the time. You do that all the time? I said, I don't want all these kids acting crazy. They all hungry. What kind of nonsense is this? So, I mean, it was chaos. I think those first weeks they had to keep ordering pizza just to kind of make up for the difference in food that was missing. But then, of course, nobody wants the regular food now because they're all just trying to hold out for the pizza because the pizza is better than whatever crap they're having to serve the kids for the camp. It was a mess. And the more we stayed and worked there each and every day, the more Ava and I realized that, okay, this place is not organized. It's just anything goes up in here. And it drove us crazy because they have this beautiful facility, all this space, all this staff, but everything is just a mess. Like, they didn't even really do programs. And that's what drove me crazy. The way that their camp was set up was very different from ours. With me and Ava at our location, because we only had, you know, so many rooms and it was usually only two or three of us, plus maybe a few teenage volunteers, Ava and I had the entire summer camp already mapped out before it started. We had every program written down. We had every day and how the day was going to go, what field trip we were going on, what time lunch was going to be, who was doing what. All of that was already handled, mapped out, organized, written down, documented, and put on a schedule before the camp even started. So the entire 8 weeks was already planned. And then all we had to do was implement the plan. That was the tiring part. Because again, you're constantly keeping the kids engaged. There was no such thing as just downtime until the very last hour and a half of the day. From, you know, about 9 a.m. till about 3:30, we were running programs. They were doing academic enrichment. There were games. There was activities. There was arts and crafts. They were cooking. They were playing. There was field trips. So all kind of stuff. This location, oh, I mean, it was literally just they made the kids all rotate. They would break up every kid by each grade, and then the kids would just rotate and go to all the different rooms every single day. And what was supposed to happen was, as they went to the different rooms, there was supposed to be different programs. Man, ain't none of that went down the way it was supposed to go. Initially, what they told us was there were going to be staff members who were assigned a room, and there were going to be staff members who were assigned a group. If you were assigned a group, that group stayed with you the whole day, and then you would go and chaperone and take that group to all the different rooms for whatever activity was taking place that day. Ava had been assigned a fourth grade group, so she had a group of about 30 kids. Anybody who had a group had about 30 plus kids, right? Or you were a staff member who was assigned a room. If you were assigned a room, there was some kind of activity or program that you were supposed to run. Okay, it doesn't sound too crazy. And so Domo's like, yeah, Mike, you're gonna be assigned a room. You're gonna be running like a healthy lifestyles program. What? I don't wanna be assigned a room. Okay, so explain to me how this is gonna work. Yeah, I want you to do that program you used to do with your kids, and you're gonna do that for all the grades. So you're telling me I'm supposed to put together a curriculum for a healthy lifestyles program, and I'm supposed to do 7 different versions of this program. One for the kindergartners, one for the first graders, second, and on until you get through 6th grade. I'm like, Domo, I ain't trying to shake the table because this is your center, but that's going to be boring for the kids. They're not going to want to do the same program every day. Oh, no, it's going to be good because they're going to be rotating. It's going to be all kind of fun activities in all the groups. And so, yeah, you got it, man. And so I'm over here like, dang, man, that's almost more work than what I ain't trying to do this bullshit. And so I remember the first 2 or 3 days, I had the programming lined up for 7 different age groups of this healthy lifestyle program. And mind you, they didn't even give me a fun room. Like, at least Ava, you know, they rotated and rotated. Some people had, like, fun rooms like the computer lab to work out of. Some people, you know, had the art room to work out of. They gave me some regular classroom. This was the room that the kids went to when they were in trouble or when they were behind on homework. So there was nothing fun in my room. It's just tables and desks. You know, some books on the shelf. So there's nothing we can do. Ain't no glue up in here. Ain't no scissors. There's nothing you can even play games with. No little random giant kickballs or nothing. We just in a room. They ain't even have a TV in there that you could roll in. I'm like, what are we supposed to do? And now somehow I'm supposed to maintain the attention span of kindergartners and teaching them about healthy lifestyles. Man, when I tell you, and it does not help. This group of children at this location, like I said, I don't believe in calling children bad. I just think children need something to do. When I tell you about 2/3 of the kids at this mega center needed something to do seriously, because man, listen, these kids here, when I tell you, some of these kids would drive you up a wall. I was like, thank God I only got to work with these kids for the summer. There were some kids that just would drive you crazy, and there are 5 that I will always, always remember. Man, there was this kid, Deontay. Now, Deontay was in 5th grade, and honestly, he was actually an okay kid, but Deontay had jokes for days, and anybody could catch it. Like, he did not care if it was a kid, if it was a staff member. I mean, Jesus could walk in the room, and he was going to be cooking Jesus' sandals. I was like, that boy used to drive you crazy, and he would always wait till the worst moment, because here's the thing. I don't mind a good joke or two. I got a sense of humor. I can laugh with the best of them. Even at my center, when it came to my kids, sometimes we would kind of have a day where I would loosen up and maybe I would crack some jokes with the middle schoolers and the high schoolers, maybe some of the older elementary. But there was a relationship that was established with my kids. And so I already knew the thresholds of how far everybody could take it or how far I could go. And, you know, I always could be able to read when something was going too far and somebody was uncomfortable. So, it was a safe space. It was all in fun. But the kids at this mega center, I didn't have that rapport with because I didn't know them. I had only worked with them for, it was only going to be that 8 weeks. And so I couldn't just clap back and chop up these kids because these were not my kids. I didn't have the relationship like that with them. And who knew? One of these kids might feel some kind of way. And when I go in the parking lot, their dad might be waiting for me outside. So I kind of just had to stay in my lane and remind the children, let's stay within our lane of what's appropriate. But man, Deontay would always wait until the worst minute to cut up. Like, I already had to deal with the fifth grade group. I used to be pissed when they came to my room. I'm like, here come these fifth graders, because it was going to be off the chain. They were going to be chasing each other. Somebody was going to be horse playing. Some girl's going to have an attitude. Another kid's going to be on the phone. Somebody's going to disappear for 45 minutes talking about they went to the bathroom and they done left the entire building and went down the street. And it's like, that group just used to drive me crazy. But I remember I would finally have the group all settled. We're about to do some kind of activity or some game. Then out of nowhere, yo, Mr. Michael Day, man. Why is your head so big? Oh my God. Like, he would be so dramatic. I swear, man, no wonder it's cloudy every day. You be blocking the sun. And I used to just be like, boy, who if you only knew. And I used to have to just sit there and take it. And I'm not going to lie, he had some funny ones. I used to have to almost catch myself because some of them were really good. But it used to be annoying because he would not know when to stop. He'd just keep going. Like, dang, man, how is your head so big? You can't even put your head through the car window. You gotta open the whole door. I just know your pillow got a big old crease in it when you wake up in the morning. A big old dent like a meteor just hit. Oh my God. And he would laugh. He would do this laugh where he wasn't even laughing. He was just being dramatic to make the joke hit a bit more. And the worst part, the way I had jokes on deck just ready for Deontay, and I could never do them because, first of all, Deontay had these two big old front teeth, these two big old chompers, like you could just crack a can open with them. And I used to want to get them so bad, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to talk about Deontay. Let me not. And his hairline was never straight. And it didn't help, like, his entire hairline would have, like, scabs around it. And I'm like, why is his whole hairline scab? Like, the barber must just be pissed with him. Because it was like the clippers would dig so deep into his scalp that the entire perimeter of his head was scabbed up. And I'm like, you got some nerve to talk, Deontay. But I mean, Deontay would not know when to stop. He would just keep going. And I would get so annoyed because all the kids would just be laughing. And I'm like, God, we ain't ever gonna get nothing done. I was this kid here. Oh, Deontay. Oh, that boy there. And then there was this other kid, Tevin. Now, Tevin was in fourth grade. Tevin was raised by his grandmother, and God bless her, because I don't know how she had the energy to deal with it. And to be honest, she didn't. She was like 76 or 77. And at that point, she had raised a bunch of kids. Like, she raised her actual kids and the grandkids. Tevin also had some older siblings that were like 16, 17, 18, 19. And she was tapped out by the time Tevin showed up, so she was excited to drop him off every day. But Tevin just had all this rage. He was mad at the world, and so he fought every day. Every single day was some kind of drama. Every day somebody had to pull him off of somebody. And the thing was, it was so interesting because Tevin honestly wasn't a disrespectful kid towards adults. Like, with he and I, we were good, but I never had any real problems with him. And so they would always send him to my room every single time he was having a rough day. I'm like, dang it, man. Now, my beef with Tevin was that he cussed like a sailor. Like, he cussed. It was like little Samuel Jackson. I'm like, boy, you cuss harder than I do. And so they always send him to my room. And I'm like, dang, man, like, I rock with the kid, but y'all just dropped off all these kindergartners to my room. Two of them just peed on themselves, and I'm trying to take care of that. Now I got to deal with Tevin and his attitude. And so, like I said, Tevin fought every day. And what made it crazier, Tevin's arm was broke. He had a whole cast on. He could only use one arm. And when I tell you, he put all the power into that swing. He was hitting everybody. Even he got Deontay one time. Deontay was trying to clown him with the cast. He went right up to Deontay, whack, right in Deontay's chin with the cast. I'm like, oh my God. This kid here, like, Tevin had some rage in him. Like, you couldn't play no musical chairs with no Tevin because he gonna fight whoever snatched his chair. So it was like, man, Tevin was off the chain. And I really just think he just needed to have a voice at home. I think the idea of him being, you know, raised by grandma who was much older and she was the only adult in the house, plus all those siblings who clearly didn't listen to her because all of them always had something going on, and he saw too much too soon. He just had all this bottled up rage. I do kind of wish he almost would have come to our center or my center, because I feel like after a little bit of work, we might have been able to make some leverage and gain some leeway with him. It was going to be a lot of work and he was going to drive us crazy, but I felt like he just needed some people around he needed his tribe, and I don't think he had it yet. But, you know, so Tevin was off the chain. They sent him to my room every day. Then there was Tykea. Now, Tykea, she was in third grade, and she was the one who always wanted to let you know what her mama said. I feel like no matter where you live, there's always that little girl in the neighborhood or that cousin, my mama said, like she swore her mama was the president, and she was always telling us what her mama said. And the problem I had was her mama let her do whatever she wanted, and then she would get mad when her daughter got in trouble. And so I remember like one time, simple things, like the kids weren't supposed to have their backpacks with them. The backpacks were supposed to be put in these special lockers and they get them at the end of the day. And I just remember one time, we're doing a program. Of course she got her bag. I wasn't even about to care, like I don't care, but no, she's gonna take the bag out and it's gonna be a distraction because she got chips in there and juice and cell phones and everything else. Tykea, why you got your bag? Because my mama said this is a jam sport. I just can't leave it with everybody because y'all being here stealing, and if my bag goes missing, somebody here's gonna pay for it. And I'm like, why does this little girl do all this neck rolling in third grade? Like, ma'am, you supposed to be watching whatever freaking Frozen or whatever is out right now. Lord, where is your innocence? This girl, just you swore this girl was like 35. She was like another version of Monica, just she wasn't the Monica that went to my center. This was a Monica I didn't have the energy for. Like, she, all that. My mama said, I don't have to watch this. My mama said, I don't have to do this activity. We go to the pool. And don't let it be a day when she got her hair done. My mama said, I don't have to get in the pool if I don't want to get in the pool because y'all gonna mess up my hair. Tykea, nobody is forcing you to get in the pool. If you don't want to get in the pool and swim, that's perfectly fine. You can sit and wait over there until it's time to go. Then when it's field trip time, my mama said nobody can sit by me on the bus because people gonna be touching my stuff. Tykea, tell your mama I said. And when I tell you I wanted to meet her mama so bad, and you know what? I never saw her mom. I never met this lady. I had been waiting to meet her mama because I couldn't wait to tell her what I said. Like, man, ooh, Tykea. My mama said you have to heat up my hot dogs because I'm not eating the food here. Now all of a sudden I'm the maid. Now I gotta heat her food up. Like, little girl, like, listen, it's not even lunchtime. It is freaking 9:35 in the morning. Like, lunch is not for like another 2 hours. You talk to whoever's in the cafeteria when it's time. And every time her mama actually came to the center, for some reason, we would never cross paths. I used to be ready for her mama and never met her mama. Crazy. And they would be telling me, like, yeah, man, her mom came here and showed out at the front desk. And I'm like, when? Why y'all didn't come get me? I just wanted to witness. I just wanted to see what her mama looked like. Just, Lord. Yeah, that girl was off the chain. Then there was Doris, and Doris was in like fourth grade, and she would always threaten us about how she was gonna go get her big brother, and her big brother was gonna come and F everybody up. I'm just like, what kind of kids go to this center? And I mean, every 5 minutes, I'm gonna get my brother. One time, we were at the pool, and I told her, Doris, do not take your cell phone by the water. Just keep it, you know, keep it in the locker with everything, or leave it with the staff, because you don't want to get it messed up. And she, oh no, because if my mama calls, she gonna want to hear from me, and if I don't answer, there's gonna be a problem. All right, you know what, fine. And mind you, this is the era when it's becoming more common for younger kids to have cell phones. Like, when I was 9 or 10, cell phones were not even a thing for kids, let alone high schoolers. I think, you know, I got to, like, high school, it was becoming more common for everybody to have a cell phone, but it was unheard of for, like, 9 and 10-year-olds to have phones. We're now in an era where it's just normal. So, you know, she and her phone, I got people calling me. All right, fine, Doris, fine. And so she ain't want to listen. What happens? Boom, the phone falls in the water. We were on that bus. Doris was crying because I think one of the kids bumped her and the phone fell in the water. I'm gonna get my brother. When my brother get here, I'm gonna get him. And really, she wasn't even crying about the phone. She was crying because she knew she was in trouble. She was crying because she knew her parents were gonna get her for tearing that phone up. I said, see, y'all don't be listening. Y'all don't listen. And the last kid I'll mention, this kid named Testimony. You already know how this is gonna go. Whenever kids have those really positively affirming names, they're always the polar opposite. They always be everything but what that name represents. You know, the kids like patience and grace, miracle, heaven, or, you know, they flip it around, Neve, you know, angel, tranquility, summer. Them be the kids that be everything but what they were named after. But, man, Testimony's issue was he could not keep his hands to himself. He always had to touch somebody. Like, and the kids at this time, they were going through that phase where they were slapping everybody on the back of the neck. You know, they go and slap and rip the hand. They used to stay doing that. He was always in trouble because he kept bothering folks. And I had a kid from my center, Calvin. If you remember from the very first episode of this specific series with the community center, I talked about the lady, Miss Glenda, who I met on my first day, and she was holding the baby Cedric. You know, Calvin is Cedric's older brother. So Calvin is in fifth grade. He's just like me. Look, he's Leo. Our birthdays are about 4 or 5 days apart. We be having the same energy when it comes to some nonsense. And so he could not stand honesty. Honesty always was bothering Calvin. Always. And the thing about it, too, I only saw my kids for like 1 hour because we kept doing, or like 45 minutes because we would always do that rotation. So I stayed in that same room the whole time unless there was some kind of field trip. And so I didn't get to be with my kids all day. They get to be with me for that 45 minutes for my program, and they'd rotate and go to the other staff and stuff. And so I wasn't always there to kind of bring my kids back to, you know, a centered or nuanced space when other kids were bothering them or when something was going on and they needed to just vent. You know, they had to deal with other different staff and different personalities and all. And so, like I said, honesty could not stop bothering Calvin. And there was a vending machine at the Mega Center. Now, the kids really weren't supposed to be on it, but sometimes I would be nice if it was like a Friday and it's like, okay, you can bring your money and use the vending machine. The reason I wasn't pressed about the vending machine was because, you know, if one kid brings money, now all the kids want to use the vending machine and you got a line of like 65 kids all trying to get something. It's just, it's too much. Let the vending machine be for the adults. So on this particular day, it was already a crazy day because Boss Lady had come to visit. Big Boss Man had come to visit. Now, he's Boss Lady's boss, okay? He's the big man. He's the guy that interviewed me for my position and gave me hell on earth during my interview. It was like an interrogation. Trina is there. Trina is pretty much my main contact for the county. Like, all three of them are there. They just kind of want to see how the partnership is going, to kind of see if this is the direction we should keep going for, you know, with the other centers and more partnering and just highlighting how well this summer camp joint summer session is going. And so everybody's there this day. And I just remember Calvin was at that vending machine. Mind you, I wasn't there. I was like coming out of my classroom because I think we were transitioning to lunch or something like that. So Calvin is at that vending machine, excited. He had just put his money in that machine. You know, he's looking at whatever it was he was about to get. And then Honesty runs right up there and just pushes some random buttons. And so the machine gives him something that he does not want. Calvin did not even have a moment to reflect. Or he just turned around and just starts wailing on Honesty. Wah, 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 wah. I mean, he is going in it. And mind you, Calvin's a bigger kid. Like, he is dragging a mess out of Honesty. And I just hear everybody like, whoa, whoa. And I just see all of these adults running towards the area where the vending machine is. And I'm like, please, God, don't let it be one of mine. Don't let it be one of mine. Because normally it was one of the other kids. So my kids knew. I already used to give them the rundown. Don't come in here cutting up. Because if you think I'm busting you over here to start fighting, we're not doing that. You will just stay home. And so I just knew it wasn't one of mine. And as soon as I got over there and I realized it's Calvin, what? And mind you, I'm like, Boss Lady's right there, Big Boss Man is right there, Trina's right there, they done pulled the two apart. I just got my head like, Lord. And the good thing is, fortunately, because like Big Boss Man and Boss Lady aren't around enough, they don't realize that Calvin is one of mine. You know, they're just assuming these are some of the kids from the Mega Center. And then as the staff are trying to manage everything and, you know, they're fussing at Calvin about what he does, he starts crying, Mr. Michael, I ain't even did nothing. I'm like, dang, now they know you with me, Lord. And mind you, if you remember from the first year that I started at the center, Calvin had gotten in a fight with that other kid over his bike and tore that whole club up. Like, we didn't really have fights at my center, but for the handful of fights that ever took place, Calvin was in about two or three of them. And mind you, he never started anything, but he would finish it. And so, you know, now that they know that he's one of mine, Big Boss Man is over here being all performative, like, oh, I know these aren't the kids that represent my organization doing this. I know I don't have directors out here allowing this kind of thing to happen. It wouldn't be no directors from my company, you know, over here being all dramatic and giving the theatrics because he had an audience since Trina was there. And so he's trying to really act like I am just the scum of the earth as a director because one of my kids and got in a fight with another kid. And I'm like, here we go. And then Boss Lady jumping. Yeah, this is unacceptable. If this is what the partnership is going to entail, then we're going to need a better approach because this is not how we're going to do things. This is unacceptable. These go against the standards and the quality of how we operate our programs. And any director and any staff that has come from our company, I'm like, no, y'all ain't trying to tag team me with this 2-for-1 special when neither one of y'all even support us to begin with. Like, get out of my face with that. I was looking at both of them so sideways. Like, man, please. And the part that really got me and the true irony that was there was Ava and I were literally the only two staff members that really actually did anything. And when I tell you, this had to be one of the sorriest group of staff members I've ever had to work with. And it's no disrespect to them individually, but my God, when I tell you that the programs at that center just suck, it just was not run well. And it was kind of crazy because, you know, they have this beautiful center, they have all these rooms, they have an abundance of staff, and nothing is organized, nothing is coordinated. They weren't running programs. Maybe 2 weeks in, I started realizing, why am I wasting my time time doing program plans and trying to have lesson plans for all these different groups. And literally myself and Ava are the only two actually running any kind of program. And mind you, Ava wasn't supposed to run programs. She was supposed to just move with her fourth grade group to each room. But even she got bored and she was like, okay, I'm gonna have to just start coming up with some stuff. Because I mean, this staff did nothing. When you put into comparison what was happening in all the rooms, there was one room where they had a staff member. She did musical chairs every day for 8 weeks, every single day, to the point where the kids got bored with it. And I mean, she was just running this for 45 minutes every day. And I remember thinking, like, you guys realize kids, they want expansion and they want options and choices. And just doing musical chairs every day while you sit and scroll on your phone and everything and got an attitude because you forgot to pause the music, like, that's not gonna fly. So stuff was always happening with a lot of the other rooms because they didn't have any actual programs or activities that they were doing. Like I said before, when it came to my center, Ava and I always had a list of things to do. We would mix it up. We always had something going, so no day was ever the same. That same effort was not at the Mega Center with their staff. So one room, like I said, musical chairs every day. And so the kids, mind you, 7 different groups, kindergartners go in their musical chairs. You know, kindergartners, I'm sure they're fine doing musical chairs almost every day, but eventually they're gonna get bored. Then you got 6th graders going to the same room, musical chairs. 3rd graders, same program. 5th graders. And so it's like, you didn't even mix it up for each age group. So of course, the kids start getting bored, they start getting restless, and so there's all these problems. Then there was another staff member that had a different room. What are they doing every day? Coloring. Every day, she's just gonna print out some, you know, coloring sheets and stuff. They just sit and color all day and play music in the room while they color. And so the kids, you know, them older kids are not coloring, so they getting caught up in the other stuff, and there's always a fight or something going on. So you got one group that's just coloring all day, and it was just like, you had staff that did nothing. At least the folks that were in the gym, at least they had, you know, a different game every day. The gym was the highlight for the kids. They could get a different game, and that was fine. But when I tell you, like, the staff, even the teenagers that were volunteers over there suck. Now, I did have to chew my teenagers out the year before because I told y'all they came to work high one day and we just sent everybody home. But other than that, you know, they were always really good. They helped with us preparing the food. They were running programs. They were doing activities. When we did field trips, you know, they were helping monitor. Like, they were really, really good. We actually trained and worked with them for like a week or two before the actual camp. And so they knew everything to do. And so it was like a team effort. Ava and I were the only two at the time, and we had, you know, our teenagers, but we had a great summer session that first year. Now we're at this Mega Center. They got a bigger program for like teen staff, which is really great. It's vetted through the county, and their teens get a nice paycheck. Them teens were so sorry, they ain't want to do nothing. Again, they sat on their cell phones half the time. Half the kids can't be out in the sun. As far as the staff, I can't be outside, I can't do this, I can't do that. I mean, I was like, what are any of y'all good for? And so once I realized I was burning myself out and Ava was doing the same, we definitely pulled back with how much effort. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna just do what I want to do in my room. And so I started shifting and doing whatever I wanted to do just to make it a bit more engaging, because hey, I'm sick of running this healthy lifestyle program. There ain't that much healthy lifestyle programming in the world for no 8 weeks every day for 45 minutes with 7 different groups. That's stupid. And Ava was the same way with her group. Like, we just kind of started revamping stuff. Like, we really went above and beyond to make things more enjoyable, because it was miserable being there. Like, we totally, or at least I totally psyched myself out thinking, you know, going there was gonna just be heaven on earth. I was like, we should have just stayed at our center, because man, this was chaos. Of the 10 summer camps that I ran while I worked at this center, that was the worst experience ever. I mean, you would just be so annoyed. When I found out one of them staff members, like one of the guys, all he did was do freeze dance every day in his room, I said, y'all really had me doing a whole curriculum and this is what y'all been doing the whole time? Whew. And then field trips again. 200 plus kids. Field trips were always a headache because, hey, I will say, they went to some great places. Way better field trips than the ones that we had to do the first year, because that first year that Ava and I ran our camp, boss lady told us, there's no money. Whatever field trip you do, you need to find free things to do. So we went to a million museums and parks and playgrounds and anything where there was no charge. The county, on the other hand, they had money, so they went to fun places. You know, they went to Funland and did laser tag and all kind of stuff. But 200 kids. Every day was a hassle just getting there and getting back, because you had to count every kid. And I tried to have the easiest approach when it came to field trips. Long story short, For every field trip, there was usually anywhere between about 160 and 200 kids that were going. And so you had some staff that would stay back because not every kid was going to go on a trip. Ava was slick. She always found a way out of a field trip. She was never going on no trips. And I used to be so annoyed because I always had to go. And sometimes they didn't have two of the big buses. They'd only have one. So then they'd ask me to drive my little bus with the extra 15 kids, you know, to just to help with the buses. But they would never just let my kids be on my bus. They would send all the kids that they know are going to do the most to my bus. So now I got the bus with every kid that's going to throw something, to every kid that wants to fight, every kid that got Tourette syndrome is going to be cussing all day. Like, that was my bus. My bus would be so chaotic. But man, when it came to taking attendance, what they did at the Mega Center, which I just thought was crazy. I'm like, for all these kids, this is how y'all doing it? They pretty much just focus on the count. They were pretty much like, okay, if we left with 162 kids, we need to come back with 162 kids. And they would just measure that up against how many permission slips were there. But the problem is, the permission slips did not come on the same day. Sometimes a kid would sign up for a trip, but they were sick that day and they didn't come. Or sometimes, you know, somebody registered last minute. So the permission slips and the numbers never really matched up. So when we would get to the field trip and it was time to come back home, now they're trying to line up all of the kids and have them match the number that they started with when we first pulled off. And so, I don't know, the number that day is 189. They're really out here trying to line up all these kids and get them to stand still long enough to be counted. I was like, this is chaos. And those teenage volunteers, oh, because listen, when I tell you these folks, everybody just used to yell at the kids. And again, I'm not really a yeller. I don't really yell at kids because it's not going to get much done. I've always said, for me, it was funny when adults would lose their composure in front of us in school. Like when a teacher started screaming or something, we just thought it was hilarious. We all just start laughing. And so we'd be there, and you know, that staff and some of them volunteers that were the teenagers, stand still! Man, we gotta start over, y'all! Stop moving! Stop! You're not gonna go on the next trip! Stop! Cut it out! I'm like, Lord, this is chaotic. And I was like, there's no way we're going to do this every field trip. I don't have the patience for this. So I was like, okay, this is the new system. From now on, because every time we went on a field trip, there was always a ratio of staff versus kids. And normally that ratio was about one staff for 15 kids. To me, that's a little too much for a field trip. It really should be like 1 to 8, maybe 1 to 10 when you're going with groups, especially if you have little kids because they're all over the place. But hey, not my center, not my rules. But anyway, this is what I introduced. I said, from now on, all of the staff members, you're already going to be assigned your cohort of kids anyway. Why don't, once we have the permission slips, why don't we just make Excel sheets and everybody who has their cohort of 15, you just write down the 15 kids you have. You check them in when we go there and you check them in or check them out when it's time to go. So when we're getting on the bus, check off, check off, check off. All y'all sit together on that section of the bus. Don't move. If that's Mr. A's group, Mr. A's 15, y'all sit together. Y'all have been checked off. When you get off the bus, you're with Mr. A. When it's time to go back, you're gonna go with Mr. A. He's gonna check you 15 off and go. And every other staff member will do the same. Person B, Mr. C, Mrs. E, and so on. Because there's no way to mess up the number because everybody's only responsible for 15 kids. You're not trying to count 162. And so even that was still chaos because somebody would always mess it up. I remember, oh my God, one of the teenage volunteers, we had gone to the big pool. So he had his sheet, right? You know, he had his sheet that he had checked everybody off on. He didn't put the sheet in his swim trunks. He didn't got in the pool. When he got out the pool, the paper done warped, all the check marks were messed up. He don't know who he got. He don't know who's in his group. I was like, you know what? We didn't get to leave for like 45 minutes because it took us forever to figure out who had who. I was like, this is so stupid. I was like, you know what? From now on, when we do these field trips, everybody just give me your sheets. I will pass them back to you when we get ready to leave. Like, now I'm treating the adults like the kids because I'm irritated because, again, trying to take care and manage everybody's kids, it's a lot. So I take it really seriously when we got other people's kids because the last thing you ever want to happen is, you know, something terrible happens to somebody's child on a trip. Like, that's some smoke you don't want. And mind you, I already was the person that always was giving all the kids with the behavioral problems anyway. I'll never forget we went to that Nats game and they left me with all the kids that just, I was like, well, oh my God, you know how hard it is to get 15 kids to sit down at a baseball game? Baseball is already kind of boring for some kids anyway, and everybody needs to go to the bathroom. Everybody wants to go and buy a soda. Everybody needs to get up and move. And I'm like, whew, give me the strength. God, remind me, next summer, we're back at my center. I'm not doing this. And I remember that night, there was a Jill Scott concert. It was Jill Scott's block party. And on that tour, it was Jill Scott, and the opener was Salt and Pepper and Kim. And I was so late to the concert because we got back late from that field trip. And Route 1 on a Friday is already terrible anyway. Like, man, by the time I got to the Verizon Center, because it was the Verizon Center at that time, I had missed half the show. And the girl that I was supposed to take, she was pissed because we were supposed to eat dinner first and then go to the show. I had the tickets. Horrible day. Then there was this one morning, and something just already told me it was gonna be one of those days. Something in my spirit just told me. And I had just loaded up the first group of kids to take over to the Mega Center, and Ava's there, you know, back with the other group, and then we'll go and bring them. And I'm pulling up to the parking lot of the Mega Center, and for some reason, the parents that are normally standing in line, the line is still outside, but it looks a little bit more chaotic, and I see all of the staff outside as well. I'm like, why is everybody outside? Why are they doing the check-in outside? Like, this, whatever. And so I'm get off the bus. Y'all, come on, let's go, everybody. Watch for cars. And we start walking, get ready to head to the door. And I hear one parent, y'all ain't getting there today. Huh? What happened? Pipe burst in there. Nobody can go in. The whole gym done flooded. What? And so there was a pipe that had burst under the floor of the gym sometime that morning at like 3 or 4. And it had flooded like one whole half of the building. So nobody could go in. And I'm like, what? So I'm looking at everybody. I'm looking for Domo. Like, Domo, what's the move? What we about to do?
Man, so Trina, she making some calls. So we just got to stand out here for now. But, you know, we're going to still do attendance. And we'll just figure out what to do on the sidewalk.
Oh, my gosh. So, you know, I'm already ready to just bust my kids on back to my center. Like, we ain't got to sit through this. And so what ended up happening is, we ended up having to go to a makeshift location for about 4 weeks. This makeshift location was one of the nearby elementary schools, which actually wasn't too bad in regard to spacing, but the school only allowed us 3 rooms to operate out of. I'm like, okay, now this sounds like my center at this point. Why don't I just go back to mine? We were given the cafeteria, we were given 2 classrooms, and we were given the playground. And I'm like, oh, God. And I'm like, well, how long do we have to do this?
Yeah, they said it's gonna take at least about 4 weeks to fix everything.
4 weeks? Alright. And so now we're busing into 2 locations. So it's like we bus and go to the Mega Center, and then everybody gets on the bigger buses and we ride to this new elementary school. And so now things are more chaotic because you got more kids stuff in a bigger space, which was their cafeteria. And then the staff tried to use one of the classrooms as their office. I'm like, y'all don't do no work. What y'all need an office for? And then the other room was supposed to be like a makeshift location for programs. And I'm like, this is crazy. So when I tell you, we were burnt out. Everything that could be terrible happened with this camp. Then, while we're 1 week into this new location experience, the school is like, well, y'all can't come here no more because we have our own summer program that we run, and it's too much of a conflict of interest, and so y'all can't come here. So we had to move to another school, which was even further out. I'm like, okay. And this school was tripping because we were only allowed to use the cafeteria. So now everybody's in one big room. And remember how I said there were a lot of sorry staff and volunteers? A lot of them at least got the luxury and the crutch to use whatever was in their room at the Mega Center, because again, there was a gym, so you could use what was there and have all kind of games and stuff. You know, if you were in that big giant teen room, they had all kind of gadgets and video games and pool tables in that room, so you could do stuff there. If you were in that big old art room, there were all kind of art supplies and crafts and stuff that you could use. If you were in the big industrial kitchen, they could do cooking. Like, now none of that is there. We're just all in a big cafeteria in separate corners, and all of these people who weren't really running any programs, oh, they really were struggling now because they didn't know what to do with the kids. And I'm just like, this is absolutely crazy. How many more weeks left do we have? Ava and I used to just count down every day like, okay, 3 more weeks, 2 more weeks. Meanwhile, back at my center, you would think everything was smooth sailing, but man, let me tell you, I get a call one day. And mind you, I'm at this other school location, irritated in this cafeteria, because mind you, having programs in a cafeteria where the kids just ate and they done spilled milk and chips and stuff on the floor, it just not a good experience. But I'm literally at the cafeteria monitoring my group. I get a call. It's Mr. Craig. And it's about, you know, it's towards the end of the day. It's around the time that I'm about to go ahead and take all my kids and we're going to bust them on back to my center. And so I answered my phone. Hello, Mike, man, bro, you better get over here because John got one more time. He got one more time. I'm like, what? I'm on the way. And I can hear John in the background. I'm just saying. And Craig, you ain't saying nothing. You don't say nothing to me. Don't say nothing to me. And I'm like, what is going on over there? And like I said, how the day normally went is me and Ava had our camp kids with us at the Mega Center, and then it was open lab at my center for kids in the neighborhood that wanted to come in there. So I'm like, I know they're not over there fighting with the kids in the room. So I'm trying to get over there as fast as I can. You know, I got the first group of kids with me on the bus, and I'm trying to get over there. And Mr. Craig keeps calling my phone, keeps calling. And here's the thing. We're not allowed to touch our phones, period, when we're driving the bus. I'll always remember one of the staff members at another center got fired because they were on a field trip. Somebody in a nearby car saw them using their phone and dialed the number that was on the side of the vehicle and called and reported them for driving while using the phone. And what the girl was doing was she was setting her GPS while she was at the red light, and they still let her go. I was like, yeah, they don't play about these phones. So, you know, he's called two or three or four times, and I did not answer. When I pull up to my center, here's the visual. Mind you, that day was extremely hot. It had to be about maybe 97 or 98 degrees, and the heat index was probably like 102, 103. I pull up. I see all of these kids standing in front of the center, but they're not allowed to come in. Now, that front door is a glass door. And I see John standing in the door just looking at the kids. And he's sitting there kind of like holding his water. And I'm like, what the hell? So I get to the door and there's all these kids out there. You know, there's about maybe 15 or 20 kids from the neighborhood standing out there sweating, hot. And I'm like, why are all y'all standing out here going inside? He said we can't come in. Who? Mr. John. What you mean? What? And you know, so I'm looking at John, open the door. And so I go in there, I tell all the kids, all y'all just stand here for 1 second, because I don't even know where Mr. Craig is. I can hear him, but I can't see him. I open this door, all the kids are standing outside. You know, I lock it for 1 second. I'm like, what is going on? Mr. Craig is pacing around the room. I don't know who he think he talking to. He got the right one today. He better pray God. Oh, he better thank God I know the Lord. Oh, he better thank God I ain't trying to mess this up for me. He got the, looking like the Grand Wizard. Got all them kids outside. And then John jumping in. You haven't been here long enough to understand. You haven't been here long enough. And I'm like, what is going on? And mind you, both of these are older men. Mr. Craig is definitely like in his 50s or maybe the very, very, very late 40s, like a 49. And John, again, is similar in age, maybe a year or two younger than Mr. Craig. And he's white. So I'm watching this older black man be ready to snatch up this white man. And automatically, I'm like, we don't normally just be starting stuff. So something did happen here. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, what is the issue? Mr. Craig's like, this fool, he gonna make all the kids go outside talking about they ain't got no paperwork. And John is like, well, that's just a protocol. That's just a protocol. You would know that if you did your job. And then Mr. Craig was like, oh, I know you ain't talking about somebody ain't doing their job. You don't do shit here. All you do is sit there and drink some goddamn motherfucking Coke. I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm like, and I ain't gonna lie. John really don't be doing no work. So I'm like, oh, he got you on that one. And so Mr. Craig is like, yeah, he tried to kick all the kids out talking about some paperwork because it's time to renew the memberships. To sum things up, when we get around August, it's time to renew all the memberships for the kids. And what John decided was any kid who didn't have their memberships renewed couldn't come in. And I'm like, John, first of all, that's my job to worry about that. As the director, I handle the logistics of that. You're not even like a full-time staff here. And unless I've pretty much directed you to, you know, manage that, why are you worried about that? And also, there's an ordinance with the county. We just can't turn kids away from open lab, especially during the summer, because the purpose is to ensure that we serve the kids that need us the most, even when they're not in a capacity to pay. That's why we have an open lab, and that's why other kids also go to camp. There's services for everybody. So why are you making all the kids stand out? And John, it's like 100 and something degrees outside. What does that look like? You as a white man standing inside of an air-conditioned center, drinking some nice ice-cold water, you got all these black kids outside sweating, and they can't even come in to use the bathroom or get a drink out of the water fountain. How does that look? Well, I just don't want to get sued. If a light fixture falls off of their head and they don't have renewed paperwork, they are not covered under the insurance and I am not getting sued. And before I could even get a word out, Mr. Craig coming, black people don't sue. Black people don't sue. Not over this bullshit. Every parent in here know we take care of their kids. They're not about to sue us. They love us. They don't love you. I'm like, oh, Lord. It was crazy. I was like, okay, this is what we're going to do because we need to let these kids in here. This conversation is on pause. And when these kids come in, we need to act like ain't nothing wrong, because my thing was we always needed to have a united front in front of the kids. Once the kids knew there was drama between staff members, the kids start moving differently. And if there's a staff member that the kids are already not as close to, then all the kids will pile up on that staff member and run behind another one. And at that time, they loved Mr. Craig. Mr. Craig was cool. Mr. Craig was funny. Mr. Craig reminded them of like their uncle and stuff. They loved Mr. Craig. They tolerated Mr. John. Mr. John was all right, but now they're mad at him because he just made them all go outside. So if these kids would have came in and knew that Mr. Craig wasn't feeling Mr. John, that I wasn't feeling Mr. John, and when Ava gets here and she finds out what happened, and wasn't going to be good for Mr. John. I was like, we will deal with this once the kids leave, but I need us to be on a united front. So, you know, I let the kids in. I was like, okay, you know, Mr. John, you're going to have an activity in the computer lab for those kids. Mr. Craig, you run the main room. I'm going to go on back and pick up the other kids with Ava. And yeah. And so at the end of the day, once everything was settled, we had to have a really extreme heart-to-heart. I was like, listen, I get the idea of wanting to follow protocol, John, but at the end of the day, this is my center. When it comes to those logistics, those are things that I manage. If there is anyone on the staff level that is going to make any executive decision in regard to what happens to the kids collectively at this center, it's going to be me. Why? Because I'm the director. Everything falls on me. I would have never gone to your center and done that to your kids if I was substituting that day, because I recognize you have your own system over there. How you do whatever you do over there is what you do. Now, unfortunately, like I said, his center had been closed because of financial reasons, and so they had him kind of bouncing from my center in the basement location back and forth. But it's like, you also need to understand the optics. I know you like to run from conversations of race, but for us, race is in our face every day, and the optics of an older white man having a bunch of black kids stand out in the heat and not even be able to get water, that doesn't look right. And let's be honest, if these were a bunch of white kids standing out there and they got sunburned, now you really need to worry about who's getting sued. And in regard to the conversation of lawsuits, we are a company. If anything, you're not going to be individually sued because a light fixture fell. That's not even foreseeable for it to be your fault. If anything, if we're talking about the line of people who are going to be sued, they're going to sue the building owners, they're going to sue the county, they're going to sue the company. That's what the insurance covers anyway. We got insurance for lawsuits anyway. What are you talking about? And so I was so annoyed. And the thing is, like, he always would move as if he was smarter than all of us, like we were just all stupid and we didn't know anything. And that used to piss me off, because I'm not trying to cook the man, but his center sucked. I'm sorry, the kids didn't even like going over there. He had the lowest attendance, the lowest participation, lowest everything, bare minimum over there. I will say he was exceptionally smart, like book smart. When you want to talk math, science, I mean, this guy probably could recite the first 300 numbers in pi. Genius on that level. Intelligent. I think that's one of the reasons why he often did things so weird, because he was just so smart with certain things. But then there were other things where you'd be like, just what the heck? And I used to try to almost meet him where he was, because again, I'm sure that has to be a lot to have a center that you love and they close it, and now they have you bouncing back and forth from center to center, and now you have to substitute at a center where the director's like 23 or 24, you know. And so I'm sure that's something that also got under his skin. But I was like, at the end of the day, we're here for the kids. It's not about your ego. It's not about what you think or how you think things should go. If that's the case, you know, find your own center to go and run. And so, you know, we had to have this heart to heart. He did not like what I had to say. That face was red. I had to calm Ava down because Ava was hot when she found out. And that was the other thing too. Even again, like the conversation of making executive decisions, Ava was my ace on everything. I didn't even look at her as the number two in charge at the center. To me, she and I were on the same page. However, even when there was something with a conversation around like executive decisions for all the kids, she would still check in with me before she ever would try to do something. She wanted to make sure everything was okay out of respect for what my title was. Even though I gave everybody a lot of space to kind of really move in their own way so we could just kind of be a unit, because I don't really like the idea of doing too much top down. Nobody wants to work under somebody that's just a pain in the neck to work with because they think they're, you know, hot stuff all day and they push their weight around. I was never that kind of boss. But Ava in that moment even had that kind of respect where she was never gonna overstep. You know, she was never gonna not, you know, she was never gonna do too much without checking in with me. So for John to be that comfortable, and mind you, you're a guest in my house. Like, that's how I was looking at it. Like, this is my club. Oh, I was hot. And so that was a mess. But long story short, what ended up happening, I think once we got that cleared up, we didn't have any more major issues. I think around this time, John finally kind of understood that, all right, maybe I'm doing too much. Because I feel like as the years progressed, the working relationship with John and I got much better. better. Wait, he even invited me to his wedding, okay? Like, we had come a long way because there were a few days I was ready to throw hands, but that growth didn't come right away. It was going to be a minute. But, man, when I tell you, that summer camp, that was the worst experience ever. And it pretty much set a precedent where every spring when I knew summer camp was coming, I was ready to quit because I just did not want to go through that again. We never would do another summer camp with that center ever again. And I was like, from now on, we will be at home. We will be at the center. We will be at our specific location because, man, there's no place like home. Sometimes the grass is not greener on the other side. And I learned that the hard way. I took all the brunt and all the blame on that when I was like, my bad, y'all. I didn't realize it was going to be this chaotic. But I will say the plus was because we had, you know, the 30 or 35 that went to that center and we still had room for like another, you know, 20 plus kids, sometimes 30 that came for open lab. We were able to serve twice the amount of kids that we would normally serve during summer camp. So I was like, OK, well, there's one plus. But man, that was the summer. And so that was the summer camp and the end of the second academic school year. There was so much that happened to the point where it took us 3 episodes to get through everything, and I still didn't cover everything. But you know, that's just how it goes. And so we all got our time to relax and have that week off before the school year started. And I just remember I was in my bed, right? It's maybe, I don't know, 7 a.m. And we have about 3 or 4 days before we need to all start going back to work. And so Daniel calls me. If you remember, Daniel was the soccer coach. And he's like, hey, Mike. I'm like, hey, what's up? I don't know. I just got fired. Huh? Yeah, actually, everybody at our location got fired. And mind you, that's the basement location. I was like, dang, what's going on? He's like, I don't know. And your position is also posted on Indeed. Huh? That's all I'm going to do. You got to wait for the next episode to find out what happens. See you later.